good. Okay, no.
He's kicked up his emails again, I haven't noticed.
I call him on the phone, he's just like a totally different, just so nice. But the emails are vicious. Then I call him on the phone, it's like.
We took a month and a half break, for which I was quite grateful. I'm thinking, all right, well, fine.
You know, I told him, I said, you know, you're just turning people off. I mean, you just. I said, do you think this is effective?
It is effective in one way.
Yeah, I said, your neighbor's like sick.
I think it's a DVD.
I mean, the ones that he's supposed to team up with.
You think I could get you to pour me a cup of coffee? You did, huh? Good deal.
But that was the last one.
Well.
I was scared to death. I did it too. I file them for future reference should something ever come up.
I just toss them.
If they come in, I delete them, but no fun with that.
That's a little hat.
That's pretty bitter stuff.
Thank you, sir.
You know, that's, I don't know.
Yeah, he's mad.
Not very effective.
No.
You know, I talked to the Talkeetna Community Council about it, and they just said, gee, we don't even want him to come. They just, they just boy him off.
Well, they do. But he does go to them, or no?
He used to.
Yeah, Jones.
Yeah, he's a short.
Good afternoon, Noel.
Good afternoon. Where's Larry?
Good afternoon. I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is a special meeting of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough Assembly, 2 p.m. Tuesday, September 11th, 2012. Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll?
Warren Keough, District 1.
Present.
Noel Woods, District 2.
Present.
Ronald Arvin, District 3.
Here.
I am expecting Steve Culligan, District 4. Darcy Salmon, District 5.
Here.
Jim Culver, District 6 is also expected. Vern Halter, District 7.
Here on time.
Thank you.
For Mr. Culligan, who was, had to have
as
this
is Mr. Culligan's request to have this meeting, we'll make sure to point that out to him when he arrives. Approval of the agenda. Any changes to the
I'd
agenda?
I'd like to amend the agenda to ask Bruce Knowles to comment on the salmon wars that we had a couple of weeks ago, and he would like us to help our committee, Fish and Wildlife Committee, to go ahead with some protest on what the commercial fishermen are doing. So,
you want to add him as a presenter to the agenda?
Yes, I would. I'd like him to speak early if he could. He's here now, and it shouldn't, you know, his 3 minutes shouldn't take that long.
Okay, so you want to add him under audience participation and leave audience participation where it's at? I'm not clear on the motion, Madam Clerk.
If I could. Assemblymember Woods, I do believe you wanted to move audience participation. Please correct me if I'm wrong, right after Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes.
Okay.
If you would. If we could get agreement on that.
Is there objection to moving that?
If we can have just a little discussion.
Mr. Keough?
Mike.
I thought you were calling me Mike. The only problem I see with moving audience participation forward would be that whatever members of the public are here to attend this planning session, if they have comments specific to planning after we meet. I presume there are more folks coming. I don't know. But, I mean, is there another way that we could have? I'm very interested to hear what Mr. Knowles has to say as well. Is there some way we could?
Madam Clerk, can we just add him after Pledge of Allegiance as a single 3 minute presenter?
You could, but I the other option also is to leave audience participation where it's at, and also after the pledge. You'd have it twice.
Okay, so let's do it twice. Okay. Any additional changes to the agenda? Any objection to the agenda as modified? Hearing none, that will bring us to Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Hayes, can you lead us today, please?
Flag is right back there in the corner, left corner.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah.
That brings us to audience participation, and the speaker can please come forward and state his name for the record.
Yes, I'm Bruce Knowles, and I'm the chairman of the Borough Fish and Game Commission. And Noel asked me if I could come in today and give you all a brief rundown on what's happening. We have lost majority of our salmon run this summer. The kings were way down. We've missed all but four escapements out of 17 again. And we've got six that are stock of concerns right now, and I believe that at the next Board of Fisheries, we're going to add three or four more streams to the stock of concern for king salmon. Cohos went bad this year. They hardly came back. The Little Sioux was closed completely. Kinnick Arm was closed to sport fishing. And this was the fourth time that Little Sioux sit in the river missed its coho escapement. So we have submitted an agenda change request to the Board of Fisheries. An agenda change request is requesting that they take up an issue that was unforeseen. We didn't know it would happen or something, because if not, it would be 2 years before they could look at it. And they're to act at their meeting next month on the 4th and 5th. They will either vote it up or vote it down. If they approve it, which I hope they will, we will have a special meeting in February or March when they have their winter meetings. And we'll go over the coho issue on the Little Sioux. Cohos were down area-wide completely. And my guess is that we lost somewhere between $50 and $80 million this summer in revenues in the borough because of the poor fishing and the way things were closed down. We have a report that's on a website that shows where sport fishing brings in 2007 brought in somewhere between $90 and $150 million a year to the borough. And it's one of the biggest money makers in our borough. And our salmon returns are dying. We're not getting them. The ones we are getting are having problems because of beaver dams, pike, and the department's attitude is you have pike and beaver dams, there's nothing we can do for you almost. They have undertaken Alexander Treat to try to get that king run reestablished. But we're going to have to take proactive actions and to push the department and the state in to properly managing our salmon runs. How many of you remember Bodenburg Creek out here east of town? The salmon, it used to be there in the 60s and 70s. It was a big tourist attraction. And the numbers are way down on those creeks. And we have lost runs where people say, I can remember when we had salmon coming up to this creek and that creek. And we have lost them, and there's no records of it. We have to have an in-depth salmon study done in our borough and make the state accountable for it, because that is their number one priority. They have to ensure sustainability of all salmon runs, according to the Constitution of Alaska. And they're not doing it up here.
So, okay, so are you, is there an action that you would like from this body?
What I would like, if they approve the agenda change request, we will need funds to hire a biologist again to help us write the paperwork up and present to the Board of Fisheries this spring when they have their meetings, if it's approved. If it's not, we're going to have to take actions to see that they better protect our stocks next summer. And I strongly encouraged the borough to take some sort of legal action in July because of the poor returns that was building. And I tried to tell the department it was building. They say, no, the salmon runs are just late. And sure enough, they wasn't late because there was no fish coming back. When we had 10,000 fish, cohos, that had been caught in the nets, that was the only indicators we had, they'd caught 300,000 chum, I think it was 400,000 pinks, and 2 million sockeyes. to me, that's a pretty good indication you've got a weak run. And they don't look at this. We're going to have to make them consider more action. And we do that by getting the governor's attention, and our legislators continue to support us the way they are. And we're going to probably be asking for money for more genetic sampling, because that's what's going to help solve our problems. When we can say, they caught our fish here in this part of the inlet, we should be able, in the next 2 or 3 years, be able to have samples taken today, the day after tomorrow, have the samples, and they say, well, most of these were our fish, so leave that area alone. Let them go on up through. This is what we're going to have to have. We're going to have in-season management tools. Right now, it's done on the oops factor. Oops, we made a mistake. They have very little data here to tell them what's happening.
Okay, do we want to open this up to a question and answer scenario and extend the time a little bit? Mr. Halter?
I guess, how much money do you ask from the state?
I'm sorry?
How much funding are you asking from the state legislature, our delegation?
Well, last year we got right around 1.2 million for fish studies in Cook Inlet in our area up here. That's how much they got. They got 500,000 to do a genetics, another economic survey next summer. And we have to be on top of this while they're preparing it, when they issue the contract, to see that they use the same questions in 2013 they did in 2007. Because if they change it a lot, it's not going to be as valid as it would if we go two cycles with it. And the legislators went through with the department and helped them write this economic survey, and everybody gave it to Hail Marys, and we've got a new group in now, and we don't want to see that changed a whole lot.
What specifically do you want us to do?
Y'all approved $50,000 year before last when we had the Cook Inlet Board of Fishery meetings to hire a biologist. I would think that we're going to probably need $25,000 to $30,000 to help prepare for this agenda change request.
Mr. Keel?
Mr. Mills, when you're referring to there, are you talking specifically about the Department of Fish and Game or the Board of Fisheries or both?
Both. The board has changed from the last time we met with them. They've got two new members on, and we do not know which way these people are going to lean, sport or pro or whatever. And it's very important that we have four people that we can count on to support our issues. And I know of three that hopefully are going to support it now, so we got to persuade one more. And the way you do this, it was good, solid data. We have to show them that we're not doing this as an allocation issue. What we are doing is a conservation issue. Because if it's an allocation issue, we'll lose hands down. But if we can show that there's an conservation problems, they should listen.
How much do you estimate it's going to take for that beaver and pipe problem regeneration? Is that in the plan? Is that you asking for?
That's something that has just come around. Chuck Kosick and his organization is applying for a grant of $35,000, I think it is, to go in on the Little Sioux and do a study of the salmon status, how healthy they are and all. Beaver dams, see if they're negatively impacting in areas, and be prepared to say, all right, we've done this study, now let us go in and tear these beaver dams out so that we can start rebuilding our sockeye return on the Little Sioux, which will in turn will help the coho. Right now, I was told there are 14 beaver dams on the Nancy Lake Creek that is preventing the passage of sockeyes.
Mr. Keel?
Just one more quick question. Is there enough data to show, I mean, can we break it out for Upper Cook Inlet within the borough and sit in the basin, the Kinnickin-Matanuska River Basin? what percentage is from pike predation of salmon loss? What percentage is pike predation, beaver dam, commercial harvest, incidental take? Is there any, do you have any rough numbers?
Not any real solid. A lot of it would be estimates. As soon as we get genetic data, we'll be able to say who's catching whose fish.
Okay, so I guess at this point, we'll wait maybe and ask you to come back and give us a report
okay.
when they do the agenda reset.
Mm-hmm. This group that's soil and water conservation is trying to get the matching funds to help with this Little Sioux issue was asking for $11,000. And I told them that we would have to see a work schedule of what they want to do, what they're planning, and then we could present it to y'all. But they have come up with this, and I think there's a deadline towards the end of the month for it, so.
Okay, Mr. Halter?
Yeah, I think you said something about you wanted the borough to do legal action back in July.
Right. I was hoping that they would step in and file an injunction and ask them to keep the drift fleet restricted where they wouldn't harvest our fish. Keep them out of the corridor area and let them pass through. Just keep them on the edges so our fish can come through. And the department told them, well, the cohos are just running late this year. They don't ever show up before the end of July, which is a fallacy. That's, to me, it was a long ways from the truth, because I can go back and show you where the 15th through the 30th was some of the best coho days going through the weir. And they were showing one year that the fish didn't show up until the 3rd of August. Well, what they didn't tell them was that the 3rd of August, those fish were almost up to No Name Creek, 17 miles up the river, because that's where the weir was that year. And until they moved it down to mile 7, they didn't have a good in-season indicator. And if the water temperatures are above 60 to 65 degrees, the cohos will not move upstream because it's too hot for them. But as soon as the water get rain and it cools off, they will move upriver as fast as they can once they get the water temperatures. And that's a known issue with the department.
Mr. Colligan, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Mr. Knowles for coming forward and all the effort he's put in over many, many years. But one discussion I know I had with him in the past, and I'm sorry that I walked in late. There's been several studies done, many studies done, and the data gathered, and the commercial interest with the legislature have included that for being fully covered.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at? And
well, I 5 or 6 years ago, the legislature had a Upper Cook Inlet Salmon Task Force formed, and they had both common sport fish people on it. They traveled around in Cook Inlet and got all the information of who it was, and Representative Craig Johnson had a draft report written. They being the commercial fishing interest within the legislature, would not fund the final publishing of this study. They wouldn't pay to have it, for having it written, and pay to have it published. And it's just sitting there in limbo. It's not doing anybody any good because it showed a lot of issues where there were problems that were brought forth in this meeting. And it's just sitting there, and nobody's done anything. And there's data out there that could be used to make escapement goals. I just was at the office before I came over here, and I asked them about getting an escapement goal established for cohos on the Destra River. They've had a weir there 15 years. And their story is, well, I don't know if we have enough data that's consecutive. I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, the river goes up and down, the weir goes out, it's in, it's out. We don't know how valid the information is. I said, you're going to tell me that when you took data from different areas, even different parts of the state, to make the escapement goals for our sockeyes on Susitna drainage. How can y'all stand there and say that you don't have the data to make a good escapement goal? And where they want them, they'll have them. Where they don't want them, they won't have them. And if they don't have escapement goals, then their feet can't be held to the fire.
Okay. Any additional questions for Mr. Knowles or any more comments? Hearing none, I guess we would ask that you come back after the agenda change request.
Okay.
And you have a chance to put your outline of cost together and scope of work.
Okay.
And then maybe bring that back to the body, and maybe the body will consider then to be provide a contribution to that
okay.
effort to conduct that fisheries study.
I would like to thank y'all for all your efforts in this fisheries area. This is the best corporation that I have seen in 20 years of doing this fish issues, trying to protect our salmon. And it's to the point now when people say the Mat-Su Borough, they know that the borough administration is behind us. And they are really listening. Our legislators are behind us, and we have to keep this at a forefront.
Okay, well, thank you very
thank you.
Much. Is there anybody else that would like to come up and speak during this split audience participation approach we have laid out here? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to note that Mr. Culligan arrived at 2:14, and Mr. Culver arrived at 2:21.
Is that late?
Very.
Sorry.
That brings us to item 5. Committee of the Whole. Mr. Salmon, do you have a motion to move us into Committee of the Whole?
I do, Deputy Mayor Arvin. I move to enter into the Committee of the Whole.
Is there objection? Hearing none, we are now a Committee of the Whole. To talk primarily, as I understand, about legislative priorities amongst other goal setting, strategy setting topics that might come to bear during today's meeting. With that, and as the individual with providing the most pressure to get this strategic planning meeting settled on the agenda, Mr. Culligan, would
Drug you, is in here in the middle of the day.
Would you like to lead off?
Yes, I wanted to start going revisiting our priorities for last year and make sure that we at least narrow down our top three or four, whatever major projects there. I think we kind of all know what they are, but I think there's some new ones that we want to interject before the governor sets his budget and the like as we head into legislative session. My intent earlier in the year was, while things were fresh in my mind after going through the budget and some of my frustrations there, I have some things I'd like to introduce and figure out for this next year and the like. So I guess we can start there at the budget process and kind of move ahead and the like. But during the budget process, I found it interesting that our financial statements are certified and reviewed and got awards and the like, but our actual budget, I don't know if it was submitted or not, but I would like to see us submit that budget to the same GFOA organization and make sure that we are meeting the objectives of good government standards, accounting standards and the like, and also transparency in developing our budget. I'd also like to discuss through this next year how to move to a more of a two-year budgeting process so that our longer-term projects and other capital expenses are planned out and we don't have such a heavy lift every year that kind of normalize that from year to year as we move forward. Those are the only things I really have left that I haven't brought up already when it comes to those items. I wasn't jumping up and down with excitement with the contractual assistance we had through the budget process this year. I'd like to maybe look at the assembly selecting somebody this next year that works for us directly. As far as major goals, I'm interested in and would like to figure out, maybe get an update on, I think, our rail extension, and I'd like to start there. It was interesting yesterday, Manager Lucy did a great job.
Mr. Colgan, if I could, before you jump in, you kind of laid out some items that you want to see us talk about today.
Okay.
Can we go around the table and hear that from the other members as well, and Mr. Halter, and then Mr. Culver?
Okay. I guess, John, is this a staff party list that's being presented to us, this one here?
I put that together kind of as a one-page summary sheet so you could just look at it.
Okay. So this is not set in stone, this is just something?
Oh, no, it's just something I thought you could talk and work through.
Well, I guess, Mr. Arvin, I'd like to see us kind of look at that page two where we got, I guess, last year's first priorities. Hi, Mr. Mayor.
Page two. Oh, you mean on the...
Yeah, the first priorities, then we got the second priorities, and third priorities, and find out every assembly member's...
Oh, okay.
I kind of honestly, after listening to Mr. Knowles, think that we should probably prioritize salmon restoration borough-wide somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe go through that list and have every assembly member see which ones they want to keep on, which one they... You know, to me, road bonds, we just need to monitor now. I guess it's second priority and stuff like that, so maybe just have every assembly member.
Okay, that's a good approach, Mr. Culver. Well, before that, I'd like to acknowledge the mayor's arrival at 2:25 and give you a brief update of what's happened in this meeting. We had Mr. Knowles come in and give us an update about fisheries issue, escapement, com versus sport, and said that they're working through an agenda reset, which would have a price tag contribution from the borough assembly request at some date future, maybe about a month away, to see if we can participate in a broad spectrum fish study and find out why the runs are so depleted. And with that, sir, I'd turn the meeting over to you.
Okay.
We're just diving into the work session agenda.
Okay. Thanks for taking over. I got caught on the back 40 and couldn't get out.
Couldn't
in time
find your
to
way
get
out.
Down here in time.
Could I speak, so, Mr. Mayor?
Okay, so what's the pattern? We're going around
yeah,
this way?
Yeah, Mr. Culligan and Mr. Halter have spoken, Mr. Culver, and we're just, people are voicing what they'd like to see on the agenda today for topics and looking at our items of business from the last work session, strategic planning, and reprioritizing legislative priorities, some goals with respect to budget time and how the assembly gets information through that process, and the potential fish issue, adding that as a priority. And now we're just about to give the floor to Mr. Culver.
Okay, Mr. Culver.
Yeah, I think this is good. We start out by kind of queuing up what do we hope to accomplish in this session today. I think we should come out of it with what Steve's objective, I think, was worked well last year. What do we want to see in the governor's budget? We started early, we put that in, we lobbied, we got that. So first and foremost, our top three or whatever we think it is that we want to see in the governor's budget should come out of here today. And we can thrash around our overall priorities and objectives and what our legislative wish list looks like. We have time, but I think we ought to first and foremost focus on our three and then see if we can blend the fisheries issue into our already ongoing priority list.
Yeah, Assemblymember Keel.
I guess I don't have any problem with going over or revisiting many of these prioritized issues we have from last year, but this is a general planning meeting, so I'd like to toss a few things out there for consideration too. Most of which are not listed here, and a few of them are. We have contract negotiations underway. I'd like to ensure that those are wrapped up expeditiously, if possible. Also, last year, we took it upon ourselves to do away with the tall tower ordinance. I'd like to see one reestablished as soon as possible. And so there's some legislation coming forward on that. We instituted Title 43 last year. That's not on the list here, but I think we need to make some major revisions to that. And the sooner the better. I'd like to continue to support tourism. That's one of the things that's listed here, tourism infrastructure. I'd like to see the ferry matter resolved, again, sooner rather than later.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. It'd be very nice.
I think we could all agree.
I'd like to see some consideration given to agriculture and the preservation of ag lands and the significance of that industry in our overall economy.
And the cost thereof.
And I'd like to see, finally, I guess I'd like to see us address coal in a holistic sort of way. And that is that we're facing the prospect of over 30 square miles of lands that are being explored and potentially developed in the Matanuska Valley, all of which are in District 1. So it's a pending resource extractive industry that can have major impacts, both positive and negative, in the, not only in my district, but borough-wide. So those are some of the issues that are on my mind in addition to just capital projects and budget matters.
Next.
I can go next.
Okay, Assemblymember Woods.
One of the things that I think we really need to look at on a altogether basis is the budget, that total budget that we're going to present for next year, 2013-14, and get all the pieces together and get them priced out so that we have some idea of the total amount that we're going to spend or plan to spend next year. We've got to consider the national economy. I'm appalled personally when I see the dollar is falling against the euro, and I look at the euro and the unbelievable monetary problems that they're facing, and our dollar is dropping in relationship to that. A budget is a real necessary program that we have to look at as a total dollar number, including state participation that we hope for. Thank you. That's my main objective here, in addition to some of the others.
Okay. Sounds like you're thinking a little more globally than what I've heard so far. Assemblymember, have you spoken yet?
No. I've been listening, though.
Okay.
Everyone that spoke today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy. Number one priority, port expansion, rail extension, bridge.
Like that, huh?
I like that. Still, I think that the vision there is not limited to that Subaru, but statewide and internationally as well as national. And the ebb and flow of resources in and out of that port is yet to be seen, but soon to be seen. Spur of good news on the manager's report yesterday, and I still have the vision of seeing the activity there increased. As far as the budget, I didn't think we did bad this year, and I guess my only question in relationship to Steve's position is what's it cost and why do we need it? I mean, I've been involved in this government for 25 years, this local government, and we seem to have plotted along pretty well, and so I guess I'm not clear on what Steve's initiative is to examine deeper. And we've done the yearly every year, and it seems to work, so I'm not clear on why we need to go biannually. And I suppose it has something to do with the fiscal nature of things in general, but I'm pretty satisfied with our department heads and their abilities to put together budgets that are comprehensive, and the manager's review of them and presentation to us. And I think it's better now than it has been in the past, and we'll continue to get better. So these other things are, of course, important to tourism and the fisheries and the ag. The coal project, I still believe that that's a state issue, and that we can respond to it and act upon it in a limited degree, but in the final analysis, the state has control of that, and we'll determine whether or not that becomes activated. Not one of them, they were stepping on the state's toes, and they have their own interest at heart. Hatcher Pass, clearly we moved in great leaps. I'd like to see that continue. I'd still like to examine the future downhill. Monetarily and fiscally, we're not prepared for that at this time, but I think that that plan needs to remain within the mix. And I'm happy with the Nordic situation as it is. We would like to continue moving forward, and four-year university, that would be just an ideal. That would be something for everybody, but I don't see that as taking too much, going very fast, very forward at this point in time. But I believe that's worth looking into. Emergency services, that's enough. Again, I don't know today. I'm here to listen, really, because I don't have any ink with the way you're doing business, Mr. Lucy, the way your staff is doing business. It's all good by me, so I guess maybe, as I said at one assembly meeting, I keep listening. Words have meanings, so I keep listening for the words that will alter my position, and maybe I will hear some words today that will give me an aha experience. I didn't think of that, so I'm ready and waiting, so that's it, sir. Keep them top three, though.
Probably good. Did you have something else?
Well, I would just say on the priorities, I agree the rail certainly should be one. Core expansion, no problems with that. The bridge, I'd like to see salmon restoration in that top priority bracket instead of ordinance changes and regulatory reform. And I have no problems with that, but I'd like to have that in like a staff priorities from the assembly, you know, monitoring the road bonds and reorganization and regulation change and Title 43 review. I think we got that set already in a 6-month thing, don't we? And maybe put the policy for ag land preservation in a staff position and have them come up with something that we can start looking at for a policy. And land sales, I think that should be, if that's going to be a priority, we could tell the staff to start coming back with us with the program for land sales, and I guess the budget would be in staff too, but I'd like to see that. You know, one thing that was pretty interesting, Mr. DeVilbiss, was that Bruce Knowles said we were losing, I think it was 60 to 80 million dollars. 50 to 80 million dollars this summer because of the lack of the salmon coming up the streams. And so I'd kind of like to see that maybe in our legislative priorities and our, I mean, it's kind of a big one to me. It seems like it's really going haywire, really bad. I mean, every stream, so I guess the second priority is, I guess we got to stick to MVs sitting in there someplace. That's what I want to.
Put it on a stamp.
Put it someplace in there. But I think we should have priorities from the assembly for the staff, Mr. Moosey, that he knows that, you know, we want those road bonds monitored, and our, I don't know if it's our position to monitor the school bonds.
Oh, yeah.
You'll find out tonight.
We should probably out in there monitor the school
tonight
bus.
You'll hear about that.
Yeah, I saw that thing. And then, like, the contract negotiations that Mr. Keel brought up, that should probably be a staff priority from us. And Title 43, all that. Instead of having them in, like, these other categories like this.
Mr. Woods.
Under kind of a long-range plan, when we talk about major land sales and look at the population growth projected for this area, and which we expect will be somewhat conservative after we get that rail extension through to Houston and start seeing real interest from international companies coming in to develop out in that area. I looked at the Susitna-Matanuska area land plan from DNR, and it has seven legislative designated areas in that plan. Land development area, 3 million acres, but in their plan, it does not include Beluga, southern part of Parks Highway, Lake Belize, or the northern portion of Talkeetna Mountains. And that was interesting because under the proposed area forestry plan, why the eastern side of the Parks Highway was pretty well blanketed with Forest Service. In this plan, DNR has dropped out all except about 18 square miles in the upper Montana Creek area to the east of about 5 or 6 miles off the Parks Highway up in that area. So the reason that's important for development is under Forest Service land that is prohibited from private ownership, so as a forest area. So DNR said, oh, wait a minute, I think they looked at the future population plan and said, these people are going to spread out and we'll need some room to do this. Current mineral and leasehold locations remain intact. All land is open to mineral entry. The main forest areas, approximately 18 square miles over on the west side, no, excuse me, on the other side of the west, which would be the west side of the Big Sioux, they have basically the same forest area proposed as was in the forest plan that we looked at. Mineral sales and sites, DNR should, it says, coordinate with Matsu Borough, and these sites may be retained by the state. Settlement site areas, about 656,000 acres. This would include, at the moment, about 8% of the total state area within the Susitna-Matsu area plan. So, it's a thick book, and I think for our future look at what we plan to do, I think this is an important document that we take a look at before we ask the legislature to approve it.
Is that in its final form or draft?
Yes. No, it's in its final form, and it's available at the local library. Palmer Library does have one. I'm not sure that the borough has one.
Is that what they call the Susitna plan?
Susitna yeah. area plan.
Yeah.
It's the Susitna-Matanuska area plan.
It's available online as well.
Now is that something?
I've heard if we got a couple of them.
Isn't that something we incorporate into our plan?
Well,
at some
yeah,
point.
That's
well
why
state
we better
lands.
Look at
it's
it.
All state lands.
Right, but it then becomes part of the borough comprehensive plan in the past. So, yeah, we should get our teeth in that. Assemblymember Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's appropriate to kind of look back at our 2011 goals, and that's just when we think we brought on Manager Moosey. And we put him right to work. We can check off a number of these. Rail expansion has been very successful on, so good job, John, there. Road bonds, we can check that one off. Streamline reorganized government, well, we've been proceeding on that. I don't know what if anybody had any more specific agendas, but there's a few things in the pipeline yet. But, you know, we've got the Title 43 through and the flood hazard ordinance as relates to platting. We got that through. Borough space, we've got that underway, check that off. So we're knocking down some of our major priorities, and so that does help us, I think, be able to focus on what our what we're looking at this year, and I think it looks a lot like what we've been doing. But anyway, I just wanted to commend the manager for that. Having said that, there are administrative issues in our building that we still need to work on. We always need to work on that. And it's not appropriate at this time to have that conversation, but it is frustrating when you're working on a piece of legislation and it gets hung up somewhere because of some nuance that you didn't foresee or didn't expect to have happen, and so we miss goals and deadlines, and we run into problems with, like, the school district, for instance, on projects, or we're expected to deliver and they don't get done on time because they're hung up administratively in our building. So
can we nominate new things, priorities?
I thought that's what we're doing now. Mr. Moosey?
Yes. I'm hoping today, because we need to get the legislative priorities to get to the governor's budget. So at the end of this meeting, if you have 5 or 6 or 10 things that we can come to consensus on, so when we start to meet and we start putting this stuff together for that, that would be very helpful. Second thing is, Joe Perkins and myself are going to Juneau on October 2nd to give an update on the rail status and the rail project. So just want some input on that, so I don't step into something good, something I'm supposed to when I get there.
Bring the ferry back when you're down there.
Drive it back.
Take it to Seattle.
I want to nominate the
bring a sail back.
Gas pipeline from Fairbanks to Point McKenzie as a Natsu Borough priority. I don't know what other ones want us to think about that, but I think we need that gas.
At least the Fairbanks from there.
So you done, Jim?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh.
But how do you want to, maybe we could develop a process for priorities. Maybe each person lists their top three and or four, and then we'll count the votes and
do top five.
Top five?
Or maybe we could agree on top four, and then everybody throw in one or two more, and then go back and remix
all
it.
Right.
We've all agreed on the rail extension, Kubota.
Not the Kubota. I don't know if that's going anywhere. It seems like we're wasting capital on that. I wouldn't necessarily put it at the top because it.
Oh, I thought.
I mean, it's a good. I would agree it's a good issue, but I just don't know that where we're going with it.
How familiar are you with what's happening?
Okay,
there?
Then go ahead.
One piece of legislation is all that's missing at this point.
It's ready to roll.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you give us a brief
one? Integral to the overall tripod effect of the port, the rail, the bridge. It's Representative Newman called me a week or so ago and asked if we could put forward a request for the governor to, and the governor's already in favor of this, according to Representative Newman, and Mayor Sullivan has already done so, to request $50 million be put into the budget, the 2014 budget, I guess it would be, for the Kinnick Iron Bridge and Dole Authority. They are back in New York. The next time out, reputedly, they'll be going for an RFP. The $150 million thing that Senator Bernard put forward, it was intentionally a good idea for the bridge, but not necessary for the facilitation and the completion thereof. It failed. It's off the table. It may or may not be brought back, but I think when your House overwhelmingly supported it, and it never made it out of Senate Finance, so we'll never know how they made out on it. Still, it is a statewide initiative that is second to none, and we need to continue to support that for obvious reasons, but I was ready to bring forward a resolution by request of Representative Newman to the governor requesting that he do, in fact, put in the $50 million for his own idea, but he's looking for support to put that in and not have it be questioned.
Well, so I guess we'll keep it in and do a remix when we after we see what everybody wants to add to the top three. Lonnie?
I was going to let the Assembly know that I can definitely keep track. If you guys go around the table and tell your top three, I will keep track of who's voting for what. You may have more than one person for each item.
Well, I thought,
happy to do that.
We'll start with, can we agree on the rail extension in Kibata? What do we mean by the port? Are we going to put some major money in that, or?
Well, Mr. Mayor, when the port expansion came up during our last strategic planning, it was with respect to the port master plan, situation of how the rail went in, the general concept layout of different property, you know, different areas in the port, and what they were going to be identified for use.
An expansion.
And that's been rolled out. I mean, we've pretty much got that plan
checked.
Kind of check, but I mean, just as a, and, you know, my recollection is that, you know, we want to keep the port advertised. We want the economic development director to be doing what he's doing, and the port director to be doing what he's doing, and keeping it going.
Mm-hmm.
As far as a specific action, you know, there's a huge potential there, but if we don't...
We're not requesting money, are we?
Well, it involves money. You
I don't know.
Well, Mr. Manager?
Two issues, and I certainly understand that was the original intent, and it's kind of grown. We have some infrastructure needs as far as orthotic protection and then bumpers, so we protect what we have. If not, we're going to lose the value, and we're estimating that off the cuff at $5.3 million. And also, too, as Mr. Arvin spoke, we do have Don Dyer. We do not have a proposal, but we may want to bring on a specific person to market the port as far as industrial businesses and warehousing at the port. Don may be able to handle that, and that might be something in-house, but I'd like to have that discussion come back with a plan. So those are two issues regarding the port that may or may not be your top priority, but something we need to pay attention
to.
Well, thanks
for fleshing that out. So I thought we all had pretty good agreement on the top three being the port, the rail, and Kibata. So let's move on, see if anybody wants to add something else as we go around.
If I could, I'd like to make a comment on those top three priorities that I started to earlier, and just kind of set the tone for those three priorities. So yesterday, Manager Moosey did a great presentation at the Anchorage Chamber in front of a packed house. And our staff, or the borough staff, his staff, has just done a stellar job at the media and the presentation, and the videos that start out with high drama music building up to the story and the like. And so it's very easy to understand and convey. But sitting there in the audience, I have to tell you, when that started playing, there was the attention to watching it, but just the pure silence and in that attention almost was deafening. It was odd, but brought concern to me that while we're describing these projects and the success, at the same time, we need to go out of our way to work with Anchorage and Seward and others that these are not just borough projects, these are statewide assets.
Exactly.
And, but you could just, when we started naming customers and opportunities and that we were doing stuff and there's trucks moving huge piles of dirt and there's maps with rail and the phases that we're in, and that we were kind of moving along with one voice is a great thing, but also at the same time with cautious, and I want to go into this discussion as our legislative priorities, that A, we're all working together and the staff, and that we direct putting the tools together so that whether some senator just wants a spreadsheet only versus a full presentation, that we're ready and prepared to present that. I think we're well poised to do that, but it was a very interesting meeting, and I think manager was well, and the borough was well received, but I also came with a great deal of caution that we want to be careful about banging that drum. It's something, these three projects are something that's going to raise all of South Central as well as opportunities statewide, and we need to bring in rural Alaska, and we definitely need to work with the Anchorage delegation and come up with a message there, as well as our own delegation. But it's of concern to me, even though it's a great thing and done really well, we collectively need to pull together as one voice and for the betterment of everybody, not just the borough. With that, we brought up the fish, sport fish opportunities, and that has, I just want to comment on that and one other issue real quick to add to the priority list. The sport of fish opportunities is kind of unique because it directly affects our tourism business and the bed tax and everything else, because those people aren't showing up to go fishing. It also greatly affects directly and immediately the state Department of Fish and Game's budget and their human resources, their assets and people they direct to manage that. I think that's probably one of the few departments where their budget, their people are directly tied to the revenue coming in versus commercial fishing, not so much. And it's kind of an interesting point, and as we're relying on them to gather data and the like. When we look at the sport fish issue, that may be something where we look at taking a handle on some of that research and directing it if the state's not going to do it, because it's kind of a double whammy. It's a hit on our tourism and the revenue that comes in there directly. And it's also a hit on some of the data that we need to improve the issue. The other one I wanted to bring up and add to is gravel extraction in the Mat-Su and Sioux River, et cetera, for erosion and flooding. We talked about it. We supported legislation last year. Warren, I know you've talked about that issue, but I'd like to know or be planning what can we do, if anything, to allow extraction in that riverbed to mitigate other erosion problems. Is there anything that we can do to prevent other things from happening this next year? If so, what, when, and how do we allocate resources or funding to that? I think the legislature passed legislation that allows that to happen now, to extract those resources. I think Noel probably and the mayor more versed on historical mining that gravel in the river, but I'd like to add that to one of our priorities, at least for discussion, both internal planning and us trying to finish whatever legislation or budget, whatever we've got to do to at least move that ball forward this year.
That was going to be one of my two suggestions to add to our top three, but not globally so much. We've studied the thing to death. What I would like to ask the legislature for is the money to elevate our Nottingham Petrovich study for channeling the river up to an engineering level that's ready for construction and contract, and then just let the private sector go at it. But that would be a little bite that we could take that would make it a lot closer to ready for the street.
Ready for, I'm not clear what you're going to
There's a preliminary engineering design that was done probably in the 70s. It's Petrovich and Nottingham, or the other way around.
Whatever, yeah.
And we've all seen it in the past, but that needs to be refined to a point where it's ready to ask somebody for, put some bids out. And hopefully with the value of the gravel and everything, we could start managing that. And I see it tying directly into enhancing our fish, because if we could control the river and create clear water sloughs out there, you would see an enormous explosion of fish population in those areas. So that's one that I was going to throw out. So thanks.
Are we limited to just three priorities, or is that what we're trying to do, or can we expand to five in that top group?
Well, we're expanding those three to five, and then we'll decide if we want to move back to three. Yeah, right, right. The
Mr.
other,
Mayor?
Yeah.
Historically, and I don't like to bring this up, but it's true. When I was the mayor, we created the Blue Ribbon Fishery Committee. And Mr. Knowles, who spoke today, was one of the original members of it. And at that time, and memory does serve me correctly, the issue was the commercial fisheries versus the sports fisheries. And here I'm listening to this again today, and I listened to the numbers of money that we're not getting as a result thereof. And his point at that time, and those others that sat on that committee with him, which Representative Masick was the liaison for the state at that time, was that the commercial fisheries were taking all of the fish out of the inlet and not letting any come to the north. Well, I'm not a fisherman, as you can see, and so my limited continued interest in it is spurred again today to see that Mr. Knowles is still fighting this battle. And fighting is not, it's not an overstatement of what they've been involved with. Another very important Valley person that's been involved since that time is Robert Hall. And he knows as much as Bruce, but it seems like the struggle goes on continually. And to what degree are the commercial fisheries still affecting that return? And so I was the mayor 15 plus years ago, and since that time, it's dwindled and dwindled and continued to the point where the last 3 years, you know, I have a son that's a fisherman. He can't go fishing in our valley. He has to leave and go somewhere. And it's so the fisheries, can we effectively do anything other than flap our jaws about that? Because we've been doing that for a long, long time. And so talk is good until there comes a point. And I'll segue over to the gas line that Mr. Halter mentioned.
Well, you've got us all on the edge of a cliff.
Well, yeah.
Here.
Well, you got the Fauske plan and the Walker plan.
Okay.
And if I never hear another word about either one of those plans again, I'm pretty sure that I got both of them down solid. So do we talk about that for another 3 years and not learn anything new except to continue badgering like the commercial fisheries against the recreational fisheries? Or does the legislature come to the conclusion that there's going to be dissonance and pull the trigger and do one? Because as surely as we're not getting fish up the streams here, we're not getting a pipeline either. They just talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. And I think everything that can be known is now known, and it's probably time to pull the trigger. Fisheries coming back to the plate today. Mr. Knowles, God bless him. He's been fighting for 20 plus years and apparently hasn't gotten very far.
Well, those are fights that are going to go on, but one reason they're not resolved is because they're outside of our jurisdiction.
Exactly, my point, sir.
Yeah.
Exactly what I'm saying. So how much of a priority can we escalate it to other than to continue to talk about it?
I would say only to the degree we could maybe affect some positive change.
Right.
I'm really glad that you got my point
funding,
there, sir.
Legislative funding.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
To the top three. Fisheries, structural fisheries management change. I call it the Department of Commercial Fish. The
mm-hmm.
department is run by rank and file bureaucrats that shade everything to the commercial. We put regulations in place last year that were incorrectly drafted to create what we call a window to allow fish to pass to the Northern District. This season, what happened was they had a huge, the set netters were on the beach because they were trying to allow escapement of the kings into the Kenai. And so they allowed the drift fleet to fish more. And through their loopholes and their emergency orders provisions, were able to basically ignore our windows provision and mopped up every fish that was out there. And subsequently, our dismal returns are the result. And this is just, we're the tail of this dog, and
mm-hmm.
I think it demands to be in the top. We're at a critical juncture here. In the governor's request, it's make the necessary changes, provide the funding for the research, and I'm sure we could rely on the Fish and Wildlife Commission to help draft the language of what exact priorities we want. They want a lot of little, small stuff, like Bruce talked about, some research here, research there. But it's structurally, we have to have strong management. The politicians tend to split the baby, give each side a little bit and walk away from it, not want to get involved. But the other thing, we can litigate, just, we don't always going to prevail, but it brings attention to our issue, and we may need to be, litigation may be one of our tools. So there's multi-prongs on that issue, but I think it belongs up there in our governor's request. It, you've got to address it. It's under your purvey, and it's on your watch.
I think we've got his ear on that. Assemblymember Colligan.
So back to that same issue, you know, Darcy, what has changed, what's different this year is that it's not clearly sportsman and commercial. The set netters that were on the beach that didn't get to go fishing, they were the ones showing up very boisterous along with the sport fishermen because they got ripped off this year as well. It's kind of an interesting dynamic. Mm-hmm. And but I think that the reason a lot, some of this has been brought up is that last month we were talking with the manager and like about trying to intervene legally or otherwise to do something right now, when the reality is we figured out we actually should be doing something now for next year. And I think that's where it may not be directly money, but it just a commitment to setting the tone and the values now so that we're driving some of the agency numbers and stuff based on our needs. And if we have to sue legally, we do have, and I think we need to build a case. We have a huge investment and loss in tourism and other stuff. There is a huge loss. It's not just all happening outside of our borough boundaries. And the, I think the other probably general assumption is that it's not just us and the commercial fishermen. There's stuff in the high seas outside mm-hmm. the Alaska boundaries that are of issue. But I think we're going to have to weigh in just to kind of get past this first hurdle in it for next year.
Let me share quickly, sir, that I trust you because it's not that I do. I trust you guys mm-hmm. to inform me, and my vote will be with you mm-hmm. whenever you need me.
Well, I think
because I don't know this.
Several
thing.
Of us now are getting pretty well educated by our board,
mm-hmm.
and Bruce in particular.
Sorry about that,
Mr. Keel.
I guess I just wanted to echo some of these comments, and that's the significance or the importance, I think, of elevating fishery conservation, the health of the fisheries in the Matsu Borough. I like to see it elevated to a high priority. And it's not necessarily monetary-wise, but we do need to muscle up policy-wise. I just pointed out, like other things, our jurisdiction is limited, but nonetheless, the sport fishery, recreational fishery, is a really important component of the, of our tourism industry. So I'd like to see it elevated, and to whatever extent, and I haven't given this a lot of thought, but to whatever extent we can further empower our Fish and Wildlife Commission to, I don't know, perhaps if we could direct some funds to them to enable studies that would further press the case of the need for better fishery conservation in the Susitna Basin or the Matanuska River. Do that, but fisheries needs to be elevated, and I wouldn't be opposed to putting it as one of the top five priorities. Just comment, changing directions here a little bit, is back on the Kabata issue. Now that when we included that as a priority issue in the past, that was, if we look at last year's, there was no dollar amount attached to it was just it was a high priority item.
That was a reserve account.
Right, but there wasn't a direct ask. So when we're talking about the $50 million, we're talking about endorsing the project and bonding, encouraging the bond for construction of the bridge, because my concern, as I've mentioned before, that if we go the dollars that may be spent on Kabata, which I have some reservations about, will be less dollars spent on other infrastructure projects within the borough. So many dollars to go around. So I have some of the hesitation that Mr. Culver expressed here 10 minutes ago. So Port maintenance, rail extension, I'm good with that as far as the top priorities.
Well, let's everybody throw in a couple more things if you want to, on top of those three, and then we'll see if we can sort them out. But try to be, rather than fisheries, if there's something specific that we can put a dollar amount on or very specifically do, we can put our teeth in. I think that's the important thing at this stage of the game. That's one reason why I boiled the Matanuska erosion thing down to a doable, tangible project that would move us forward.
Even though we have passed well with road bonds and stuff last year, the one thing I would like to see move up is the funding of the Bogard Road extension.
Yeah. That was my second one.
$18.5 million, I think should be moved up there.
Okay.
Yeah, we can have a discussion about it, but the reality is that's one of the roads that's not in there. I'm sure there's probably others we want to consider bundling them together. But of the trying to build a connected roads, we've got all sorts of issues, the parks and highway improvement, but the more we can do to move forward to get traffic off the Palmasilla Highway and off of the parks highway, it's probably one of our highest investments.
Yeah, that should be in the governor's request, actually.
Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I guess Mr. Arbor and I were kind of asking the same question to Mr. Moosey about our November legislation last year. We had road bonds, which I guess could come out $32 million. Then we had Bogart Road Extension, $31 million. Is that still active? I guess do we need more money?
Yes, okay.
And then
I think we need 18 and a half.
18 and a half.
In the GO bond, right?
There's money. Well, I'm gonna text Brad right now and find out.
18.5.
Get you the details.
And then like the reserve funding for Kubota, we'd be changing that to just supporting the bridge, period, right? And not specifically reserve funding. Is that
probably
okay? And then the substandard roads and bridges. We yearly are after $6 million on that, is that?
That is correct, and that's something we normally get.
Then the Port McKenzie Ferry Dock, we got phase two, $4 million. Is that what we're asking?
McKenzie Ferry Dock.
What's that?
$4 million.
You can take that one off.
I mean, so we can eliminate that, okay?
We've been waiting for that, haven't you, Vern?
Well, I just want to know.
We can eliminate the ferry.
The Hatcher Pass Ski Area, $4 million.
Well, we need more than that. That's a legislative request, not really a governor's. But
just found it.
So that's an active one.
Yeah.
South Denali Visitor Center, $22 million. Or
that's a federal number. I think we were requesting Fed,
Yes. Well, we had it on both federal and state lists.
The state's getting ready to build phase one of their visitor center. So the more ammo we can give the state, they're probably something they want to do anyway.
They still need a 23.
This list is based on these top five, these priorities.
This list was our we have state list, a federal list, and a state list. And I think down here, I think I have a listed down here, mm-hmm. a sheet on federal priorities.
Mm-hmm.
You can see they're different than our priorities. These are legislative priorities that we put in the book, right. And we went to sell.
Mr. Mayor,
mm-hmm.
the one thing I did not bring you guys was the governor's priority list for the budget. So that is a different piece of legislation.
That's the one we're working on.
So I don't know if we are talking about the governor's list right now, or are we talking right. legislative priorities?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the governor's list
yes.
was a shortened version of the legislative list because we wanted to encourage him to put that in his budget.
Right. Yeah.
Which
uh-huh.
we did.
So these five would be the governor's. I guess that's right.
The legislative list would be what the governor doesn't put in, falls out, and immediately in December.
We'll do that later.
Yeah, there you go. That's our punt list.
So this is the five we're working on now is governor's. Is that?
Yeah, Bogart Road Gym.
Yeah, it would start there. We may.
And the governor's office has been asking questions about getting details on the Bogard Road and what we need. And Brad has been in conversation with the governor's staff. So I know that's on his radar. And their request came to us, not vice versa, this past month or so.
Huh. That's the way we like
good.
It.
Well,
they're working on their budget right now.
We can change eliminate the ferry on the port dock and just put out at $5 million for the corrosion abatement. Program on the
maintenance
port,
and
on the port dock, yeah.
Yeah.
These are legislative.
The insurance
yeah.
bill.
So we've got, besides the top three, You've got my two, and that was Bogard and the Matanuska erosion. What else?
Oh, I want salmon restoration.
Okay, salmon.
And I want to nominate the gas pipeline. I don't know.
Okay.
I can find out if Darcy likes it or not.
Which one, though?
I like it.
I want the one coming down
to
Port McKenzie from Fairbanks all the way down.
So, but on that, Vern, I guess I asked a question. Is it a financial request, or is it just a administrative?
To fully fund it and build it.
Administrative priority.
Fully fund it and build it for change.
That's a legislative issue. I mean, the governor's going to lead, but it's, ultimately, they've got to decide, don't they?
Eventually.
We said that we each get to nominate something. I'm nominating.
Yeah, well, we're all going to get to shoot at it.
Right. I think it's a.
But anything, Assemblymember Arvin?
Did I understand earlier, I think it was mentioned that cathodic protection for the dock is $5 million, or it's to avoid $5 million of damage? I can't imagine cathodic protection costs $5 million.
I thought
it was $400,000. Well, this is why we got these folks here. Martin gave you a 1 minute review.
I think it's a trillion, right?
1 minute.
Down to the penny.
Everything's in trillions now.
Mayor, some members, if you recall, at the budget briefing I gave you in April, I reported on an inspection that we had on the dock from PNND a year ago, June. And you appropriated in my budget this year a one-time $280,000 to do some of the repairs, or all the small repairs plus cathodic protection on the barge dock. But I pointed out we're still going to need a large grant from the state to do what needs to be done to protect the piles on the deep draft dock. So the barge dock was built 13 years ago, and the deep draft dock has been there 8 years. And we put a passive cathodic protection system on the barge dock, aluminum anodes, that we were going to add some more anodes to help in between the ones that we have now. But the deep draft dock, all we did was put galvanizing on the piles. And the galvanizing is just about worn off. And so what we need to do is put two half sleeves on each side of the pile and wrap them with bands, three bands, slide them down from -5 to +25 on the pile to protect the piles from the silt that's moving with the current and the ice that smashes against them in the winter. It's doing damage to our piles. And the other thing we still need to do on the deep draft dock, as well as the barge dock, is cathodic protection. And so we can solve that with an active system, electrical anodes, six sleds that we would put on the bottom in between the two docks. So in between the deep draft dock and the barge dock, we'd have a series of six sleds that would be connected with electrical wires, and we'd electrify it. And that would protect both docks. And so to do the sleeves, it's $4.5 million. I think I told you that in April. To do the cathodic protection for both docks, we can do for $700,000 is the cost estimate I got from a specialist. We're having another problem right now on the barge dock. At the north end of the barge dock, we're experiencing, I was out there last week for a pre-bid conference, and we've got a hole that's about 3.5 feet diameter, and it went down out of sight, right up against the sheet piles. So I had our engineer take soundings, and what used to be -6 feet of water at low tide is now -29. And so it's scouring, and I think it's because of the new dock that we added on. It's changed the current, and the current's smacking straight against that wall, and it's eroding down below. And so I'm doing a force account action right now to get, in fact, Armor Rock is being delivered today, and I'm getting a permit from the Corps to put some filter rock and Armor Rock along that north end of the dock to protect the dock. And so the only funds I have are those same funds that you're authorized for the anodes. And so what I'm recommending is we ask for $5.2 million instead of the $4.5 million. We add in the active cathodic protection system. And part of the funds that you authorized me for the passive anodes I need to use for this emergency repair, whatever I don't spend, I'll give back. And so I think I can get the repair done for somewhere in the vicinity of $70,000 or $80,000. But then I won't have enough to buy the anodes, which we're bidding right now. So I'm going to cancel that bid and just have them do the smaller stuff, use those funds to pay for the rock that we're bringing in right now. And what I'm asking for is a $5.2 million as a high state priority on the state listing for the port. That would be the only thing I'm asking for the port, other than the rail, of course, which is port-related. That's what I'm recommending now, is $5.2 million. It'll cover both the sleeves and the active system that'll cover both docks, which would be a lot better protection than passive anodes.
Do
you have a champion in the legislature that's moving that forward for you at request?
I do not. I mean, we need to take it to the legislature first, and then we'll attempt to get a champion. I would have recommended Senator Menard, but we'll have to find a new champion.
Just getting ready for that.
The key thing is to get the assembly to recognize if we don't take this action, the docks will not last near as long as if we do take the action. I would estimate we get an extra 20 years life. Instead of 30 years, we could probably get 50 years life out of the piles on the dock if we take action next year. If we can get the grant this next go around and take action to do the project next year, we could probably save 20 years on the life of the dock, which would save tens of millions of dollars later on replacing those piles like the Port of Anchorage is currently going through.
It's been suggested that we break for a while, so let's come back at 3:30.
Thanks, Mark.
Sure.
Thanks, Mark.
Yes, sir. How are you, Darcy? I got a bad cold. I don't want
to take it. It might be able to do the cathartic stuff.
I don't want to get a cold.
Take
your
ferry out there. Put a slicer up in the
strip.
Yeah,
I'm doing good.
Wrap it around.
Try to deal with this. It's unbelievable. You know, for years, I used to take monthly measurements.
Kind of a blocking.
And it never changed.
Oh, okay.
6 feet of water, now I got 29 feet of water.
Yeah.
So here's our new dock with the riprap. You can just picture now the current's just coming along, and it's hitting it full force right in here. And that's right where the hole is. It's right there. Yeah, on the inside. And we've got our electrical panels in there. We got the button house in there. We got the electrical trailer. The trestle connects there. We got the conveyor there. If we lose that, it's going to cost several million to fix it. I can fix it for, you know, probably $80,000.
So the rail extension,
and I'm doing it. I mean, the rock is being delivered today. And I'm having it surveyed tomorrow. Beth mentioned it surveyed. I'm getting it done. Boom, boom, boom.
30 million.
So we've got to have a number.
Yeah, I hope yeah. He, I would think he would. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so we need to
I know Stoltz would
tracks,
too,
yeah.
But Newman is on board with us, and Charlie would be the logical guy.
Remember that.
Yeah.
So we need to get
that. Right. Yeah, I know. I know who she is, from Eagle River.
I think it's what's in the geo bond.
That's good.
Plus 30, plus 40.
Yeah. Anyways, I need your support on this one.
Snacks?
And I know the Port of Anchorage will be asking for a lot of money. This would be a lot less than what they're asking for.
We've
got to use that as leverage, too.
I need to get my loader for my.
Thanks, Darcy.
3020 is just shot. Who can I start talking to about buying a loader used? I got a farmhand on there now, and it's just, I took it to a welder. We've welded it so many times, it's cracked. He won't weld it. And he said, you got to get another one. And I don't know who to talk to about buying one.
Well, any of the Craigs would order you one.
Craig.
But these newer loaders are so much, they're designed so you can just drive in and out of
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Who do I talk to? Craig Taylor? Or?
Craig Taylor.
And yeah, I guess I better just get in there.
Are
they pretty spendy, or?
I got one several years ago, and it was $5,000.
But my loader now, I can't hardly do anything.
Yeah, well, it makes your.
Oh yeah.
The most useful thing that I got was a quick connect bucket with a grapple.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Then grow in trees or.
Yeah, I got a grapple in mine now, but it's not quick connect. It's like 5 hours. Three men trying to hold it, you know.
Yeah, if you know, if you were outside, you could probably pick something up with an option.
I know. Yeah, I had my brother looking, and then we started looking into getting it up here.
But you can, if you really don't know this stuff, you can pick up some more junk, and,
yeah.
And then you don't have.
Well, mine's just got so many stress cracks, and it's just, and he, I'll try it in the Craig Taylor and see it.
We had a posting yesterday that cracked me up. I forgot what it was. It was a.
I can't remember, but I put on some pretty crazy stuff.
Was that the one where the big white dog was?
Well, yeah, talking to all of them. Yeah, that was a cute one. That was like, you know, telling them why they chase cats. Yeah, I got a lot of comments in that one.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that.
Yeah, that one was cute. 6 months ago, we didn't I knew that sound. It didn't sound quite right. We do. We have them right up there. Maybe not right by the pool, but yeah.
just going to knock on the governor for years to go.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get honored.
Yeah, and do the legislative ones later.
Yeah. And they're similar anyway, you know.
Right.
I mean, not like we're going to have to reinvent the wheel here.
Seems like the stuff that does go into governor's budget makes it through though. I mean, you guys figured that out last year. That seemed to work. Seemed to work.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got my ass handed to me.
What's that?
I got my ass handed to me last year.
You mean?
The letter memo, we're going to send a letter of support down to the delegation.
Oh, right.
To the governor.
Okay, we've got enough guys in the room. Let's.
Yeah. That one you could have probably held on to that one.
You know what though? Gets kind of a shot across the bow.
Right. Gets, brings their attention. Right.
Let's see if we can get going here.
Yeah, let's vote while they're gone.
As soon as you're ready, I'll give you a vote card. Scoop.
Oh, okay.
How much? 18?
Okay. We have 12.5 and spent on the bond that we approved at 13.5. Additional
19.5
more?
Uh-huh.
19.5
more. Every year it grows up.
Oh, yeah. Very little.
19.5 more.
We take the ag processing facility off the list, Larry.
And this is, you want in the governor's budget, John?
I'm ready to. Until a farmer shows up, I'm not putting anything in there.
Excuse me, guys.
Okay.
Territorial. It's our pipeline.
Our manager's got an update on Bogard.
How come he has food and we don't?
Put a fine point on that.
Got him wrong.
We have 12.5. On the state bond, there's 13.5. The one in November we're hoping to approve. We need an additional 19.5 to complete the project.
Well, 22.
And
why would the state bond?
We will email a fact sheet out to you tomorrow. We have that. We'll get that via email to you tomorrow.
Is anybody indicating whether we need to do anything public-wise as far as our state bond that's on the general election? Or is that pretty much presumed that it's going to pass?
If I understand right, are we doing anything to promote that? It's my understanding we cannot. We can only present facts, and it has to be both pro and con.
Right. We can't spend money on it. But
what exactly is on the state?
I can get you a listing.
400-something million.
Yes. It is spread throughout the entire state.
Yeah.
I know we have the rail, we have Bogard Road.
A lot of port and harbor work on there.
Yes.
Right.
There is, I think, Fairview Loop is on there. I think there might be some KGB work on there as well.
Okay. How much did you say the Bogard Road is on there?
13.5 is on that proposed bond.
Why didn't they fully fund it on the bond?
I do not know. Originally, I think what they tried to do is spread the love everywhere so they get a positive vote. Because if you remember, we had $120 million on for the rail and complete the rail project, and that became $30 million from $120 million. And Anchorage is in the same boat. Anchorage wanted a big, like $300-400 million, and I think they're like $60 million.
Yeah, so it was cut back.
So how much money do we need to finish the rail?
That's a good question.
Right now, no.
If the citizens approved $30 million, we need additional $125.5 million.
Is that what we're asking for this year? No.
We have discussed that, but have not come to a conclusion yet. We asked for a big amount, did not get that, and so we were probably, I think, aiming internal discussion aiming for like 70 million, something, you know, we could grab. We need additional 30 million to keep the project moving without losing a season. 70 would allow us to kind of complete the segments, and then we come back the following year to finish out the project. If we had the whole 125.5 million, we would have a difficult time finishing all that work in one season. So it kind of makes sense to break it into two chunks if they're both approved.
Member, member, Culligan.
Andrew, so we need an additional 30 million with or without the bond.
Additional 120 million with or without the bond.
But for cash flow, just for moving project phases forward,
you just
mentioned, I'm trying to clarify, with or without the bond we need.
Correct. Next legislative session, we're estimating we need another 30 million to keep the project moving and on track.
But we're going to request 60 or 70.
We have not determined, but I think we're gearing towards 70, but we certainly wanted to have that discussion with you before we put anything out.
Okay, let's, has everybody got their two? You had the fishery.
Restoration.
Restoration. Anything else?
I said something about the gas pipeline. I don't know how much
gas
support
pipe.
It has.
I've got that. I've got that.
I don't know how much support it has. So I guess
well, we'll find out.
And is Bullard Road on the list?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we've got two of us here. Actually, it should be on the list twice.
And the barge dock, I guess.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr.
Two nominations.
Two?
Yeah, besides the top three.
Well, that port expansion, I'd like to call that port protection. I think that's a pretty significant maintenance
that
program
that, right?
Needs to come in.
5.2 million?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm good with the rest of the list. You know,
okay.
I guess my position over time, it's been, I don't think it helps anybody to send down a big laundry list. If we've got,
well, we're
got a big priority,
turn, uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm good with the port protection, rail extension, and the bridge.
And the bridge.
With no fiscal note on the bridge, but just
right.
Another acknowledgement of our continued support.
Okay, Assemblymember Colbert.
Fish, rail, bummer.
Three, the top.
Okay,
three.
Well,
yeah.
So you don't really have anything.
Well,
new.
Nothing new,
nothing,
but the port main is a maintenance item. I think it's small ass to be bugging the governor about it, but whatever. I mean, it wouldn't be one that, if it's not 15, 20 million statewide significance. It's a maintenance issue at the port. Sounds more like a legislative priority for who's going to be that center. Is that Charlie now out there?
Well,
yeah.
We hope so.
Yeah. But at any rate.
So what was your three again?
Fisheries management, restoration of our fisheries, Bogard Road, and the rail. And then I guess we can continue on with Cavada. And that's pretty much it. I mean, port maintenance is fine, but I don't know that we use that ask for the governor, but whatever.
Well, I guess if I could follow up, frankly speaking, the fish management would warrant more attention, in my opinion, than port maintenance. I agree with what you just said, Jim. So I'm yielding that. I would like to change my list.
I guess, yeah, we'll discuss that clearly. Anything else to add?
Well, are we groping around for three or five priorities?
I thought we had agreed pretty much on three, and everybody's getting a chance to throw something else in. Not more than two.
Just so you know, I'm keeping track of
what do you
who's
got,
saying
Lonnie?
What, so I'll have the top one
whoa.
Here.
Oh.
Other than the
Well, we better watch what you're saying,
yeah, I don't
then.
Want to know that.
Five.
I don't want to know what I said.
Yeah, let's throw out five individually, and then we'll bet on the top three, and then maybe an extra to.
Well, let's be clear. The port, the dock protection is its separate item from the Port McKenzie?
It's separate than port expansion?
Port expansion or development? Okay.
Okay,
port, good.
Port, did you delete port expansion?
No.
Well,
no, he did.
I thought you said it was.
No, I think the port expansion is well on its way.
Right.
And we're doing everything we can to facilitate the growth there.
And it doesn't go away.
And it doesn't go away.
Right.
But the port protection is either coupled with or a separate item. I don't care.
Port expansion slash protection.
Yeah.
Okay. Did that answer your question? Okay.
I guess one follow-up thought, and that is as we hopefully elevate fisheries in the equation here, that we haven't talked about any dollars. Pretty much just a policy statement.
Thank you very much.
As it has been the case of the bridge, but I would suggest that perhaps that it wouldn't hurt, even though, I mean, there may be one or two defined studies out there that might be appropriate. Bruce Knowles mentioned one that's in the works, but it wouldn't hurt to have a dollar amount in there for studies to be what administered. Borough could be guided by the Fisheries Commission to make fisheries conservation studies in the Susitna and Mat River and Kinnick River basins, something like that, to the tune of just a couple of $2 or $3 million, in addition to just a policy statement. I don't know. I'm just tossing that out there.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous about the fish thing. It's kind of like us getting in the ferry business. I mean, it, number one, it's not our jurisdiction. Number two, everybody is studying it. We've got the Watana study that has genetics and tagging and everything that's going on this summer, and that's all building on our knowledge level, and there's been genetics going on out in the inlet too, and I think you could probably just do that indefinitely, but I don't have a sense for where the gaps are, you know, what we would actually be looking for. As a result of this summer, Mr. Keel.
Well, I don't either. But to the question of jurisdiction, I mean, agreed. We, the local government, we have very little, if any, jurisdiction over fisheries, same as coal. It's out of our purview. However, whether or not we extract coal and whether or not we have a healthy fishery or not plays out in many ways in the economy of the valley. So, if fisheries and coal, whether to have it or not, or any other thing, matters with which we have little or if any jurisdiction, we need to be a player. If we want to advocate for a healthy fisheries and fisheries conservation so we get the returns that we've had in the past, let's make a strong, emphatic, prioritized statement that this is important to us. Even though we don't have jurisdiction, we want to play and push as hard as we can as a local government.
Well, Assembly Member Solomon.
Under that argument, then, Mr. Keogh, you're saying $2 or $3 million for the fisheries, of which we have no jurisdiction or purview. Are you suggesting that we give $2 or $3 million to the extrapolation of coal as well? Because six of one, half a dozen of another, I don't see where we can pick and choose our battles in that respect. They're both important. They're both outside our purview. And it seems like if we're going to put money to the fisheries issue, that's a budgetary item, and that don't we individually as assembly members have the right to bring forward budgetary things at a future point rather than to try to establish today what we're going to do in relationship to that? We have no money today. Is that correct?
Well, we're talking today about what we want the governor to do, first of all, and it seems to me like we aren't that sure what we want him to do? I don't.
I don't, I'm not sure at all. Fisheries is outside of my thing, like I said, so I don't know. I heard that number 2 or 3 million. Took me a little longer to get back from the bathroom, but.
Assemblymember Colligan had a.
I was just hoping to revisit kind of why we're here and redirect a little bit, if I could. Number one, I think our mission today is to establish and give staff and others time to get our governor's priorities list, because he's, the department's already set in their budget. He will have a budget published on December 15th. Our then state legislative budget will be whatever fell off the list, plus whatever we have a meeting, hopefully in December, to talk about things preparing for next budget and other things that we want to go to the legislature with. So for today, I think our mission is, what are our major projects that we want to make sure and get in front of the governor for his budget, and set a date for a planning session with a mediator, sticky lady, deal, whatever, that we address with the manager, all the other issues. We have several other projects internally, the administration, IT, and other stuff that we want to look at the grant funding and see how we can help out with priorities. But for today, if we can establish, like I think we revisited, blurt out our five, figure out the top 3 to 5 high priorities, make sure that we're together during the governor's budget. Whatever falls off that list, we get back together and schedule a meeting as soon as we can after the governor sets his budget, and that's when we really establish a longer list. We have the school board's list, we have the city's list, and we speak with one voice again this year at the legislature, but that's sometime between December 15th and the first week of January.
Next week.
So with that,
well, why don't you start? Let's go around and each give our five.
Did Lonnie already have that? Do you have something you can tell us about?
Right now, besides port expansion / protection rail extension at Combata, there's the gas pipeline from Fort Mac to Fairbanks. There's salmon restoration or fisheries management. I'm not sure what you guys want to call it, but that has five. That's the, one of the top ones other than the top three. Matt River flooding, channeling river, there's two people for that. Bogard Road expansion, there's three. Corrosion abatement on the dock at Fort Mac is one. And then the 2 to 3 million fish studies, which I don't know if you won't, you're wanting to add that to salmon restoration.
Yeah, that would go in with salmon.
No, that was one and the same in my
Did
thinking.
You have like number of preferences, like so you could rank them? Is that
I got them ranked by how many people have voted
okay.
for them. The top one is the salmon restoration with five, and
okay.
the Bogard Road extension with three, other than the top three that you guys had already stated earlier.
Okay, I think we got it.
Good enough.
A lot of those I approved of, but I just vote for them.
Yeah, and that could be too, because
they've just been nominated. We haven't.
I have a suggestion.
Okay, I thought we were going around the room. That's what we had done, what you had stated earlier.
We were collecting information.
Yeah, I'll withdraw that gas pipeline thing. It's just not getting any traction, period.
Well, yeah. That's, we don't know. See, that's why we've gone around and made nominations.
Okay,
we need to go back and Assemblymember Keo maybe has a solution.
In the absence of a coordinating lady without stickies, I suggest that each of us list our top five priorities and give them to the clerk, and she can make a tally so we have a clear understanding of what our collective priorities are.
Okay, that's a good idea.
And before we do that, can I ask
you
to clarify?
You're going to make a list?
Is our intent, we just want to list a five.
How about a dollar amount? Okay. You guys put
got
a dollar amount down. Let me write my name on there.
I got it.
Rank
it.
We'll get the five, and then we'll decide what to do with it.
All right. Sufficient.
And then you're wanting to vote on it. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, you're going to get a list with our five, and you're going to file.
I don't care about that.
And there'll be open ballots, not secret. We can't do anything secret.
You got to put a dollar amount in there too.
Banish Vern to North Pole.
Star Pearl.
Create a sled dog exit.
Automatically gets to be in the Barrow City Council.
That's a good point. While you're doing that, this is going to the governor. Correct. One thing that will not cost the governor a dime, in fact, it would be a nice gift to him that we could add, is the ferry and Alaska Marine Highway. Asking him to accept in his budget the operation of the Susitna in the Alaska Marine Highway.
That's an implied ask. He already knows that.
I understand.
No,
that might be something
we could formalize it.
Any cost, no dollars coming back to us. It would be a gift going to him.
A gift that keeps on giving.
Can they turn that into housing? We can put it out there at the bay in Juneau and remind them.
It's a condo.
This one right here, this porch.
John,
expansion.
Hanson. Same
so
thing.
It's not the
so
same
what would
as the
happen,
porch.
It's the same thing that's on there with protection.
We come up with a five, you flush out the paragraph, bring back a resolution, we formally
that's
adopt
fine.
It.
Yeah, that's
next
fine.
Meeting, I'll come back.
Yeah, there's,
okay.
There's five more.
Yep.
I'm not so into the semantics.
The rail.
Port expansion, protection, port protection, expansion.
Yeah, your list is rejected.
Yes. We take a look at it.
Why you don't want me combining those?
That's probably going to be too late. So what I'll do is I will put together a list and a plan, give it out to everybody, and you can scream at me if I'm wrong.
Whose is that?
That's mine.
And then what we'll do
you want
is
me to put my name
come
on
back
it?
And
I
plan
will.
For
I can do it.
Okay,
expanded
I don't care.
This for state legislative priorities
oh,
that we will have via resolution for you to accept.
Okay.
We'll do what I'm told.
Yeah. We want to make sure we get it before the budget is constructed, not during that.
You guys got your things in there?
Well, some of us do.
I mean,
yeah, my eye
has no. Thinking way too hard.
There you go.
Well,
that, I get
no,
a bet.
Ron's got to check it first.
I would have never
for clarity.
No erasers.
I never would have put Fisher's on there prior to today. I'll grant you that.
You got four of them, right?
Oh, I
opened my eyes today.
But it is an issue. I just don't know what to do about it.
I don't either.
So
I didn't know
it
was that big of an issue either. I knew Newman was calling and calling and calling to try to get people to come to their meetings.
Here's the list of your choices.
Since I had nothing to input, I didn't go.
Oh, well, I've been involved in
I
some of
them.
Spell check here.
You go to them, Steve? Those fishery meetings?
Yeah, I went to the one that they had. Commissioner. She got taken to woodshed.
She did.
5.2 million. She got taken to woodshed by public.
That's a quick. Yeah.
And
put
who's
a number
that?
Down.
Corey.
Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They had that meeting up in Willow.
Is she still with us?
Yeah.
Okay. Because of Mr. Lucan, after our trip up the Parks Highway, went long after he's not with us.
Nor his deputy.
Or his deputy. Yeah.
What are you gonna, John?
DOT.
That story hadn't been told yet. What happened there? One day we're traveling the parks with him and. Next day
is
gone.
Huh.
I think we can wrap it up.
It's one of them. I'm not sure I know his name.
Oh,
I
heard it.
Oh, I can hardly wait for that.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Well,
fired up.
I didn't. I haven't spoke to him in months. But I'm curious, how did we get from 3 to 6 o'clock? I don't recall voting on that. I liked 3 o'clock personally. I'm sorry I only couldn't make it, but then 3 o'clock worked a lot better for me because I was home. Now I'm going to be 95 here.
95 degrees.
I don't want to read a big
walk outside.
You're
so
good. Prominent.
I know.
You walk a block.
Yeah, but he's going to complain that change a lot for me.
I know.
Then you go inside
so
all air conditioning.
That's where I would
step
out.
He's going to throw up there.
Oh, yeah.
I'd let someone else come.
That's what I'm getting over. That Tampa
right, I'll be here.
Stuff
oh,
where you're going in and out of a refrigerator.
Yes. Sick.
It's almost scary to go on a cruise anymore, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
The diseases.
From what?
Yeah.
Well, you're bringing everything from the whole country
3,000
into one concentration.
I'm just jamming them in a tall hotel.
I've been on a cruise ship. I don't know. I got to get off it after about 6 hours. I can't make it
mm.
7 days.
On that resolution.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to be a herd animal to
well, she was the fourth.
Enjoy something like that or be so feeble that you've got to be pushed through.
They only had one member for a while.
I could have gone on a little party cruise, you know, 50 people.
Yeah, I mean, that's different.
Yeah.
Or 3,000. What's around the boat and I went off?
Lunch? I like the helicopter cruise I went on up to Sioux City.
Still,
I want to land on that gravel bar.
Yeah.
That would have been me.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think we ought to go research that South Denali Visitor Center again with helicopter.
You know,
when the school board walks away.
Some have forgot about it.
Well, the Watauga thing was better because we covered probably 10 times the mileage.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I do have my plan in there.
It was forestry, I think.
Right to the top.
Fish wildlife.
It's the Watauga. He's 24 years old, dude. He was when it started, maybe.
No.
Still.
It's quite a ways from school.
No.
It goes back there quite a ways, so.
She's now very soon.
I think the dam's 45, 50 years old.
You're going to get pro water.
Oh.
Three by 30.
It's going to freeze.
This is pretty brutal.
3 miles by 33.
Well, I have, so I know what I'm saying about it.
That it may not last the winter.
That's what they use it as rays, though, when you dance on that.
So.
That's what they do, but I used it long before rays.
It's been around a while.
Build the next one.
If it was available, I tried.
That one, the two of them together.
A friend, it's a physician who had friendly, went to grad school, went to the organic chemist.
So do we have five or 10?
Six months, moves up a pound of it.
Okay. There is a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and I can go down through the top ranked down to the bottom. Rail extension, there's 8. Port expansion protection, there's 7. Salmon restoration / fisheries management funding studies, there's 7. Bridge, Kavada, there's 6. Bogard Road extension, there's 6. Mat River gravel extraction channeling, there's 2. Tourism infrastructure, there's 1. And gift the ferry to the governor, there's 1.
Who threw their vote at that?
So
I thought that was a giveaway.
The top 5, well, there's really a top 6 because 2 of them tied, is the rail extension number 1, port expansion number 2, salmon restoration number 3, bridge 4, Bogard Road extension 5. I like there's your 5.
Well, yeah, and that's what we're going to go with, isn't it? Rail,
yes.
Port, salmon, bridge, and Bogard.
That's good.
That's good.
What were the total votes cast?
And Mr.
7.
Mayor, just a reminder that you're in the committee of the whole, so I'll make this motion up so you guys have the governor's priorities up. Somebody can move it after we get out of the committee of the whole.
Okay. We've got somebody checking on our numbers here. Mr. Manager.
Who was the one vote?
Mine was on tourism, infrastructure.
But why is there 8 votes instead of 7?
Well, the mayor plays.
Oh, the mayor votes. Okay. Sorry.
I get a chance.
somebody voted twice.
Mr. Manager.
Yes, so because we want to get this to the governor, I would like some clarification and some consensus on exactly what I'm asking for. Rail expansion, which is the next funding for the rail.
Half at 125 million.
Is there a preference? I mean, right now, if we could go, I would say 70, but what do you want me to speak?
Half of 125.
Mr. Culligan. Personally, I think we should put what the
125.
gap is and talk to the governor and see what we can get.
The entire amount?
I think we should be honest about exactly what's left, and then we should figure out some funding plan from that.
And that's to finish it, right?
Correct.
So we need to start throwing out a final number because so far it's been, well, this year this and that, but.
And that's 125, the final number, is that?
125.5.
I believe that's it, but I should remember from yesterday, but we'll make sure it's.
So you'll find out how he wants to fund it.
No, what I'll do is I'll say this is what our needs are to complete. This would be our request, if not this budget and or next budget.
He's going to put some money towards it.
Okay.
And we're going to go lobby the legislature to get more money towards it.
The second item on the list is port protection or port expansion. Should I focus on port protection at a $5.5 million number? Is that a consensus? Or should I expand that and say port expansion and current protection of the infrastructure?
I would call the protection the critical
right, 5.2.
The critical need.
I'm gonna bump it up just a little bit because these are estimates, and if it takes us a year to get the money, there's inflation.
I would suggest 10 million.
Okay.
10 million. I'd like to go for 10 million.
10 million?
Hell yeah. Excuse my French.
5-5.
Five-five.
Always ask for more than you want.
But how we, what's the other money going to be?
Can you ask for a vote?
It is a deal.
So, okay.
Can't do votes.
How many for 5-5?
Well, they can, they can.
5-5?
I guess I know.
How many for 20?
How many for whatever it takes?
The bridge. Last year, we were in favor of that going forward. We did not put a number to it. Are we doing the same thing again?
I think that's what I heard.
I would just recommend that when.
We're in favor of a bridge, rail, extension, and.
We support the governor. The governor puts it in, that we do a resolution of support for his number, because that's what.
That's what we did last year.
He will be asking for.
Fisheries and conservation, are we coming to the table with a dollar request? Are we coming to the table with a legislative request?
2.5 million.
And what would that number be for?
Guess we want to.
Salmon restoration.
We're gonna sue them with that money.
Get with Frankie and Larry Engel, and they'll write up the management. Administrative, there's administrative issues we need addressed, and then if we got funding directly at the borough, we could then, they give us a grant, and then we could parcel it out.
That structural stuff, I'd be interested in checking into.
Well, and if we had the grant, why, we could, actually, because what happened last time, they did that genetic study, about 5-6 years ago, it's still laying with the, commercial fishery people.
Yeah.
They've had four years to play with it, and it's still not done.
Yeah, it's going to the Aquaculture Corporation, and they don't want to be bothered with ours.
We had a opportunity with a private person that said they could run through that, and after they got the information that they collected 5-6 years ago, they could give us back the stream that they were born in 2 days. All they needed was to be airmailed a sample. So a private, if we could do a private investigation on that, completion of that plan, it would probably save annoyance of the state people. And we could offer proof.
Okay. What I will do is, I heard a number of 2.5. I will get with staff. We'll look at both a legislative answer and a dollar number action, and I'll develop that from staff and move forward with that and inform you what I'm doing.
Well, you know, if I could, just a quick follow up comment, if I may. You know, I mentioned studies, but there's no reason why we couldn't ask for funds. It's pass through funding. So a good example would be on Moose Creek, where there were fundings from a variety of sources to enhance this, to fix problems with the stream, and now we have 4 out of the 5 Pacific salmon returning to the stream, which wasn't the case just a few years ago before the creek restoration. So that would be an example, whether it's a study, whether it's a pass-through grant for a specific project to rehabilitate a stream or something, it would be money well spent for the fisheries.
Okay, that's good, and that's a good example. The last one is Bogart Road. The number is 19.5. 20?
19.5.
Okay. Okay. So good. We will put this together, and we will have this ready, and as soon as we have it prepared in draft form, we'll get that out to everyone.
19.562. is that it then?
Well, you only want to do 5.
Yeah.
Are you as far as this meeting?
Yeah.
If I could, can I have 5 minutes and then Nick?
Is it on the agenda?
But I'm not ready to come out of committee. Same thing, same issue. Same issue. On these projects, I would just like to run down my thoughts so you're a little bit more informed of them and what's going on. We're working on consolidated dispatch, and we've had money in this year's budget for that. Zero Lake is money that's going to the city of Houston to really put in parking lot and get that.
That's being done right now.
That's being done right now. The Hatcher Pass Transit Center, we have some money going through. I want to let you know that we had some bad materials in the road project going up to Hatcher's Pass, and we're expecting a change order. I'm hoping the change order comes in what we expect it to be, but it may be higher, and I want you to be aware of that because I have to come back and ask for some assistance. Timber sales, personal and commercial, is we're happening at right now. Eric and our new guy, Ray Nix, is working on that, and we're making quite a bit of progress. The school bond construction strike at that $2 million parking. This is just what you wanted us to work on and keep an eye on, the school construction of buildings. We're working on that.
You glazed over Jim Creek Master Plan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim Creek Master Plan. We are close to having a final that's going to be brought back. I didn't mean to get that on purpose.
Close to having a civil war.
Civil war.
Yes, war reparations are being prepared.
But you said that F, you cross that out?
Cross out the $2 million parking. That, I put that in the wrong spot this afternoon. School bond construction, keep there. Of course, you know at the Beauregard Road, Seward Meridian upgrade, I'm working through that issue with the RSAs to turn back. I'm hoping to meet with them this month to come to some type of conclusion.
That letter you sent them, is that, have you been, that one, was that August you sent a letter about?
Yes.
Have they taken that up yet?
I want them to invite me to a meeting so we can take it up, and I've not been invited yet.
Yeah, I was curious. You had mentioned in that letter that you were going to have that to us by the 18th. Apparently, that's now pending some kind of recommendation from them.
Yes.
Right. But they're so parochial, individual, my district, that it's hard to get a big picture.
Understand. And I think I flesh it out in three areas. And if they can't come to consensus, then it's my recommendation or my decision. It's coming back to you.
Yeah. I like the alternative. You said pick up the old trunk road and move change. That seems reasonable.
I just want to comment real quick about Seward Meridian. So there was a issue on Naomi Avenue. They're coming down towards Sears. DOT actually raised the crown of that hill in the design to match some of those other elevations, and staff went out and measured that. It's just marginally meets criteria for visibility and stuff. They're putting a temporary frontage road in between Naomi and the next street over, but it's a $1 million design change that they're not going to fix this time. I guess we'll see how it goes, but it's interesting that DOT knowingly and admittedly made that mistake. Or it's a mistake versus even somebody else, it would be a catastrophe. So their design error, we'll see how it works out. It's an issue.
And the last on this list of current and future, the Mat-Su College construction, that's where $2 million parking should be. The president talked to me this coming year. They are asking the state for money to expand their parking area. They're short on parking. And he was hoping that, like we have the Palmer Hay Flats Education Center, South Denali Visitor Center, we would add that to our legislative list. So he could request that funding. And this kind of fits in with the idea that we want to see if we can get Mat-Su College expanded to a four-year college. As the infrastructure is built, and we enlarge, get more students, I think that lends its hand into this becoming a four-year institution as opposed to just a two-year.
What I'd like to see from the college is them develop the capacity to do our middle school college program that right now, pilot program, 40 students are taking college classes, but they're having to utilize the Eagle River campus of the university because they're unable to offer those classes, freshman level classes here, and it would be, that's what we need to work on. So we can, they're going to get up to 200 kids in that program, but the parents are pushing back saying, you're busing our kids to Eagle River, we need that in the valley. So that's a great program. It saves the money district money actually, because less teachers have to provide in the district, and these kids that are ready are going to college, getting a head start.
I think there's a lot more to the equation of that issue. I had a long conversation with Alice Goldberg recently, and
Talis has a draft letter to you, but as we put the legislative priorities, that's something I really like the Assembly to consider adding to that list.
When are we going to see the legislative priorities now? After the governor comes out with his budget, then you'll...
No, I think we should really have another meeting and start talking about that and get that in order. Essentially, you could put the five items that's going to the governor on that legislative list, because like we had, shouldn't say the word like, when we had the $120 million for on the rail, that was in the governor's budget.
I understand that.
If we would remove that from the legislative list and they struck that, we might not get the $23.5 million.
When are we going to see this new list?
Correct.
When?
Normally what happens is the legislative priorities come forward from the manager either in October or November, because usually the Assembly wants the legislative priorities prepared before you meet with the legislature in December. Now, if you want to do it differently, we could definitely look at doing that.
I know that
Assembly Member Culligan was noting about in reference to looking to see what was in the governor's budget first.
When's the second meeting? November.
Yeah, we enacted this.
The day before Thanksgiving, right?
It's the week of Thanksgiving.
We adopted this November 1st last year.
We got October 16th.
Let's beat that.
And then November
Halloween.
6th and November 20th.
The only
meeting in October is October 16th. And then November 6th and November 20th. And then you usually meet with the legislature early to mid-December.
So maybe we should get a rough draft by October 1st or something.
We'll certainly do that. And then have for legislation October 16th. And you can hold it over if you prefer. But let's have it ready for October 16th. If you want to take action, then you can. If not, you can hold it over until the next meeting.
Okay, so at what point do we schedule a meeting with a referee mediator to then discuss all the stuff on the list, the sticky lady, and...
Nick's our referee.
Yeah. He's not very nice.
He gets us out of sticky wishes.
The reality is our mission today is the governor's budget being set right now. We could have our other list and start working on the other stuff as soon as possible. But we will be probably amending it no matter what after the governor's budget comes out.
Which is when?
December 15th, he has to. Us.
When did we meet with our group last year?
The state legislature? You guys met with them? I want to say it was probably mid-December.
No, it was January. Right after
January?
Yeah.
Normally it's in December.
A little late.
Well, why don't we just ask staff to get us a schedule on when we short, when we should.
After the general election, I'll be heading out of town, and then when we come back.
You got to watch all those right hands.
Is that on a rail or?
On a rail. Railroaded out on a ferry.
On a ferry. There you go.
Mr. Sporopoulos, did you have something for us?
No, Mr. Mayor, I was telling the manager just for historical that usually what we did was met with the legislative delegation first or second week in December, kind of after Thanksgiving but before Christmas, because after Christmas and New Year's,
right,
and you're looking at Juneau to get down, it's
always
hard to get everything together.
We did
and,
last year.
And a bunch of years in a row, we met the first couple of weeks of December. And I think what it necessitated was the Assembly members really making sure they were available, because of course, getting all of the legislators in one room is always hard.
We want to host it this year,
yes,
opposed to them?
Yeah, we do. We just happen to have it over there, so it's more convenient for them.
Okay.
I thought you had something to talk to us about after the manager.
No, all I was going to mention was that, I'm sure the clerk would, is that you're still in committee in the whole, so you can't really take action. You have to come out and vote on what it is that you already did.
Okay.
So let's do that.
We ready to do that? Any objection going out of the committee? Hearing none. Mr. Deputy Mayor, do
Mr.
you have
Mayor,
a...
Mr. Mayor, I move the following for priorities for the governor's budget. Rail extension, $125.5 million. Port expansion slash protection, $5.5 million. Kubota. Bogard Road Extension, $19.5 million. Salmon Restoration / Fisheries Management. You want to say Upper Cook Inlet or Cook Inlet, what,
yeah.
Drainage?
That's
yeah.
Up, it's just in the area of drainage, just managed.
Whoa,
no,
Borough.
I think Matsu Borough.
Matsu Borough, this is a Borough request.
Matsu Borough Salmon Restoration / Fisheries Management.
I think John's going to come up with some
funding and legislative language. That's my motion, sir.
Okay. Mr. Manager?
Yes. I was off by less than 1% on what we need for Kubota. It's
126.5.
Hmm.
Except
not for Kubota. The rail. 126.5. If we could amend that.
Yeah, so I'll just change that number to 126.5 million. Uh-huh. No objection.
Good. Is there any discussion, Assembly Member Keough?
Yeah, discussion about an amendment. I just want to ensure that this is not a prioritized list, or if we do prioritize this, we make it aligned with the vote that we've taken. So my suggestion would be
it is
prioritized.
Well, I put it in the order of how many votes came in on each item. Now the rail extension and the port expansion, I think, had the same amount of votes. I just put them in the order that I had them on the list.
Okay, then I would.
You don't have to prioritize them. I don't have numbers by them.
Mr. Mayor, my motion was not thinking that it was prioritized,
uh-huh,
but rather just a list.
So
bullets.
So taken.
Thank you.
Okay, and I guess my follow-up comment would be I would prefer the non-prioritized list as you recommend, but list them in the order according to the votes received.
Which is what?
The way they are.
What I had was rail, port, salmon, bridge.
You could be correct.
Bogard.
Yes, that's correct.
That's right.
That's correct.
So salmon would move up, but
correct. Rail, port, salmon, bridge, Bogard.
Uh-huh.
Bridge to Bogard.
But we're still just going to do bullets, right?
The maker of the motion would have to do that, as in the committee we can't take action to begin with, so that vote is immaterial.
I'll move.
We're out of the committee.
No, now.
Yeah, okay.
If it's necessary, Mr. Mayor, whatever the clerk says, I move to amend what I just said as far as my prioritization and the order of the list.
Okay, so there's a motion to amend the order to rail, port, salmon, bridge, Bogard. Is there objection to that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's your turn,
yeah.
Madam Clerk.
Yeah,
okay.
Assembly Member Culligan.
No.
Assembly Member Wood.
So disordering.
Yes, that's the order I had. Assembly
Member Arvin.
Yes.
Assembly Member Halter.
Yes.
Assembly Member Keough.
Well, now I'm confused. Are we voting
on your amendment?
Your
We're voting on your amendment to have them in the order as they...
Yeah, you may vote no, though.
Yes.
Assembly Member Solomon.
No.
Assembly Member Culver.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assembly Member Culver and Solomon opposed.
Culligan and Solomon.
Okay, so we have
to make a motion.
Another amendment?
No, I was going to move that our legislative priorities be brought for us by October 16th.
Well, we still have a primary motion on the floor as amended.
Is
there any objection to the motion, primary motion as amended? Hearing none.
I move that our legislative priorities be brought before the Assembly by mid-October, October 15th.
So the motion is for us to set our priorities by mid-October.
Correct.
Okay, well, let's be clear, because I, we're the ones that have to set the priorities, but you want the staff to bring...
He's going to bring the legislation in front of us, and I guess we could amend it as we so choose at that point in time.
Okay. Is everybody clear? Is there objection? Hearing none, so moved. Are we done? Mr. Pelican?
So I did have a question. Are we planning to have a full-fledged kind of a meeting with a facilitator to talk about? And we have plenty of things on the potential projects and other stuff to go through and planning for next year's budget, things we might need to be working on and federal stuff. And I'm aware of a few technology things we might be looking for, some matching money on, et cetera. Or is it the will of the body to have a official meeting with a facilitator to kind of go through those things before budget and before staff starts preparing all that?
Yeah, we set some budget priorities.
Yeah.
And when?
I think it's worthwhile.
Last time we did that, what, November?
November, December, yeah. I think it would have been soon after everybody, the members were seated. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to bring you back a date in November? Because usually, if the body would like, we could do it on a Saturday like the body normally does.
This body doesn't like it.
Yeah, okay, I got you. As long as it's after 10, Darcy, it's probably okay.
Yeah, it's after 10.
After it's the first
usually
Tuesday.
Usually it's after 10.
After the first Tuesday in November.
Yeah, we have election day.
Okay.
I will bring those back.
Anybody in the audience want to speak to us? I don't see a rush forward. Any, Mr. Manager, any concluding comments?
No, sir.
Mr. Spropoulos.
I do want to briefly talk about the fisheries just real quickly. I just want everybody to keep in mind that our Board of Fisheries is advisory. I know that they push the envelope a little bit and go out and send letters on behalf of the Matsu Borough. It's really more properly should be run by the manager's office. And as we start to make fish a priority and go forward under our code and the way everything works, that too all needs to go to the manager's office and engaging consultants, taking policy positions, you know, presenting things to the Board of Fish. Obviously, they could bring it on administration's behalf, and Mr. Knowles or whoever could actually go and deliver the message. But I do think it all needs to go through the manager's office because they are an advisory body. And while I'm always up for a fight, we're not afraid to go litigate things. I'm not enthusiastic and would not file a case just to get somebody's attention. The professional rules actually prohibit me from doing so. So I know this past summer there was an issue. Mr. Ashenbrenner and his co-lay were involved in it, and they reviewed there was a potential for a suit in it. What happened was I actually think Mr. Dyer went through the plan and we talked to the state and found out what we found out was they were actually managing the fish according to the plan. And I think that's what part of the conversation and the focus might need to be is we're going to pursue a legal remedy later. We've got to change the plan. That's what they're about to follow, which is that's more of a political process in getting it changed. So I don't want to have any, you know, expectations that if we are following the plan, we'll, you know, we would just go sue them anyway for their attention.
Yeah, so to that, Mr. Spropoulos, I think part of the, I guess to me, having fish on the priority for our governor's priority, whether it's money or not, is just as important for us to engage in that process to intervene with them of what their minimum, you know, pathetic minimum is versus what a true minimum escapement might be. I think we need to start engaging in that conversation somehow today. And how do we do that? What's that process? With or without the governor's budget, I guess we need to figure that out.
And I think you're right, and I think that the way to start is to get the regulations in place that or whatever model dug into the Board of Fish, the plan that they're supposed to follow needs to have a framework support our fish, because then we have something to stand on to say, well, look, we're not following the plan. You know, it was that whole thing last year with the emergency opening and the disregarding of the rule. You know, there was something to hang your, stick your teeth in. Whether or not you're successful, of course, is another story, but there's at least something to grab onto to start moving forward in the legal arena. Obviously, if you could get it through. And that's where I think the studies might be helpful as well, too, because that always could help any potential legal action to be really supported by being able to show empirical evidence. Even if they disagree with it, at least we have empirical evidence. So that was my own comment.
Madam Clerk?
I don't have anything.
Any assembly comments? Assemblymember Keel.
I have one. I was going to raise the issue, but the votes cast would not have changed the outcome. With all respect to the mayor, this is a, there should have been 35 votes cast, not 40 votes. This is a, the priorities are a matter of the assembly, so with all respect, that's a, so.
It should have been what? Yeah.
I shouldn't have been voting, I guess. This was a committee thing.
Previously, through the mayor to the rest of the assembly, previously the mayor has put in his stickers on on these types of issues. It's up to the body whether they do, they want the mayor to be doing that or not.
Well, does anybody want to kick me out?
No, not yet.
Warren.
We'll wait till the election.
Ultimately, the vote is the assembly.
I promise not to veto anything. You'll be okay.
It's not that big of an issue, but I would like to raise it again to draw a clear line between the duties of the assembly and that of the mayor, which are distinct. So, not a big deal in the case of the planning session, but I think we need to remind ourselves of what our respective duties are.
Yeah, and I would agree. If we weren't in a committee, I wouldn't have been voting.
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Solomon.
Question for the clerk. As a matter of curiosity, how's this joint thing going to work?
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Well, how
no, we're all seated
oh,
up there.
All of you are seated up there. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Darcy, you're down at your post as usual.
I'm just, that's a lot of people.
There is. It is a lot
we
of people.
You can just sit there and look and yell at the cow and wait for the echo to come back.
You can't see anybody down this end. You know,
okay, I just thought it before I got here. I'm like,
Assemblymember Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, I guess back to the fish management program. This borough spent a lot of money over the years for fish passage improvement and has had a blue ribbon task force. Now it's got a commission, and I think that we have weighed in heavily in support of improving fish volumes, but there are some other dynamic things going on that are having a very detrimental effect, and I think the loudest, most aggressive way we can weigh in and send our message out that this is a serious impact to our community is something that we ought to do. And I appreciate your comments, Nick. And you know, there are rules of engagement, but I think that a few strategically placed strong letters and strong requests from the state, I think, are probably in order. I'm not an advocate of suing or being sued. I think that often happens for reasons that really aren't germane to the bigger discussion, but this is a pretty serious issue, and I would support some strong positions from the administration and from the assembly. Because I don't like going to the river and not catching fish.
Yeah, well, we might want to take that into account when we do our lobbying dollars, too. Which brings the question, are you going to be bringing forward legislation to put out an RFP? Or
that was my next comment, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I've been asked to participate in a proposal evaluation for the lobbyist. I have no interest to do this.
Huh.
I kindly refuse to do that.
Did everybody get that?
Yeah, we all.
Either I didn't get it or I haven't seen it yet.
I'm just not sure that is a duty of a sitting assembly member to be actively engaged in ranking proposals And I think that there might be, you know, we've heard from legal before about what our duties are, what we are immune from, and it just seems pretty sketchy, and I would decline involving that.
Well, in the past, we've always been involved when it came down to deciding who it was going to be, because some of these guys are more effective than others, and some are more effective at certain things than others. I haven't seen what you're asking for, so.
You received yours, but because of your illness, you did not sit on your chair to find it.
Oh, I haven't been up there today. Okay.
Yeah, it was there at 7 a.m.
I guess my main. Was it three people? Three? Two? You're down to two.
Only two submitted.
Or I guess my main point to close off, I guess, Mr. Mayor, is that I don't have a problem with the body doing what it has historically done, but I've never been asked to do that. And I don't know if anybody else has either.
I don't know what.
I don't want him doing it.
No good. You'll do it for him.
Make a bad choice.
Okay. Assemblymember Keough.
Well, I guess since we've raised the issue of the lobbyists, I guess I would like some input from Mr. Karafis about the appropriateness of some members weighing in at this stage of the selection process for the lobbyists.
So what you've been asked to do is rank the proposals. Usually when the borough gets proposals, they send it to, you know, we go out for a RFP to design a school. You get somebody from the school district, you get some engineer, maybe, or construction for the school would be a better example. You get the design engineer, you get a public works guy, you get maybe somebody from purchasing, somebody from the school district, and somebody else, and get four or five people, and you rank all the proposals. Then you turn around and you find out who's the highest ranked. And so you've been asked to perform that duty. Now, the mayor is correct, last time, as I recall, it was either 2006 or 2007, when the contract went out for Mr. Gillespie, the assembly did do the rankings, but the assembly was clear that they wanted to do the rankings. It is administrative action. It is not legislative in nature. If one of them decides to sue us or there's some bid protest claim over it, people who evaluate proposals can get dragged into it. So the answer is, Mr. Arvin is correct. Yes, you don't have immunity for it. The mayor is also correct. Historically, at least for the last one I was involved in, the assembly did do it. If you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you can also tell the manager, he can rank them, interview, see if he can come to agreement with the lowest proposal or the best price with the highest proposal, and then bring it to you for a vote, like every other contract.
Assemblymember Halter.
Has Sonia reviewed these?
So she is our personnel, so no.
Assemblymember Cullen.
Yeah, I kind of the opposite of Mr. Arvin. I think there's nobody better qualified, a political analyst of skills, of people who lobby our delegation and others, more so than the staff, et cetera. I think the assembly is probably the most skilled as elected officials to make some of that determination or filter it out. It's ultimately the manager's decision and us to approve the contract. Skill level and evaluating somebody's effectiveness. I think it's actually a good input in the assembly.
Is this separate from Kibata? Are we going to support Kibata separately or lobbying?
I think this would be a good time to certainly discuss this.
Uh-huh.
And the Kibata issue came where we felt there was an opportunity to make headway in the legislature, and we felt that, or I felt that, the current lobbyists with the other projects going forward, the list of projects, and the ability to kind of get in and kind of direct that, make it happen, was not the best fit. I think it should be one. In my opinion, it should be one and the same. It should be included in these duties. And last year, I would not want to repeat what we did last year. Let's put it that way.
It did cause some confusion.
How much we have budgeted for this?
I'm thinking 70,000, approximately. 75, 80.
For
here, 90?
No, not that much.
So for a full year.
For full year services, yes.
That's just state lobbyists, right?
That's right. A state, and then we have similar for. For a federal, you just approved the contract based upon my recommendation. I did not see a need to change at all.
Have you interviewed these?
No, what we did is, we have taken it, these things closed yesterday afternoon. I had Russ put the packet together for you. It's my understanding, the assembly has always weighed in. So, that's why correct right away, I wanted it to get to you and we could decide how you want me to best handle or how you want me to assist you handle.
I'd like you to hire the person. I'm not interested, Dylan. I mean, I'm interested in how good they are, but basically, they're going to be working with you primarily, aren't they, and the mayor?
Well, they're going to be everybody that goes to Juneau.
Us.
That's us.
The list you just put together.
It's Assemblymember Collier.
Yeah, so, you know, again, with our lobbyist and our needs to kind of match up with our projects, our three of our top priority projects, we need to reach out to both Anchorage delegation, Southeast, but also rural Alaska, and it's tough to find maybe one individual that has all those connections, and so it is an evaluation of a team that we participate in, and I think it's kind of critical of who we select and what our objectives are for the projects.
I don't have a problem approving the final contract as presented by administration or whatever process you guys want to plug in, but I'm not interested in ranking.
There's only two of them.
Okay.
It's going to be too tough.
Any other comments, Mr. Manager?
I certainly understand, and it does not have to be the entire assembly, but if we're going on a ranking system, I like to know, and you can, I think, we don't do it here, but you can almost have a subcommittee or a group of three or four of you do the rankings, and then we can compile those together, and then I can have this, I should say three. I should have three.
Madam Clerk.
I can discuss this and move forward. Yes.
Previously, when this is done, and if I'm remembering correctly, because it has been a while, individual assembly members would come in one at a time to do the ranking. They wouldn't do it as a group.
Okay.
And then, of course, the contract comes to the assembly for final approval.
Right.
And the rankings from each assembly member were then distributed to all assembly members before the final vote was taken.
So does the mayor rank or not?
It's going to be up to the assembly. Do you need little dots or not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
we ready to close?
Please.
If there's no objection, we will adjourn. Good. I'm going to get us started.
Here?
But I've got to be at Big Lake at 6:30, so I won't be here very long.
Okay.
This is going to be a harrowing
meeting.
It's probably a good meeting for me to run.
Might get your headlines.
Thank you.
Harrison Gray.
This is George.
Hi, George. How are you? Sorry today.
Nice to meet you.
I'd like to get together this week.
I didn't know
that.
Well, I'm, you know, fire hose treatment right now anyway.
Cool.
Figure out everything that's going on and all the people and everything. So.
Great.
Sure.
I'll
buck for.
Yeah.
It's a tough road to hold, man.
I know.
Whereas the walkers takes it and turn makes them, these are the little ones, it's not so tough. But my bottom line is either way, it's Alaska for 40 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't be. Different kinds, though.
See, I'm gonna go on the spot.
So we have a.
Is it all big?
Eddie Grasser's a lobbyist. I have some on the Safari Club board. But I know he doesn't like lobby for money things. I'm surprised he's on there. And then Eldon is my company. Pat Carter is a good guy. They have lots of connections over rural Alaska.
Yeah, no, my pleasure.
Be here for the next session, I guess.
It was in 2029. Oh, next month? Yeah.
Yep.
Spend all the time putting stickies up.
Yeah.
They're kind of effective, but it takes time.
It is.
We just take time.
So tell me about your buddy, he sent us some emails.
I told him.
Is he sane or is he just a-hole? Well, he's not a registered voter. That's what's laughable, you know, all this stuff. And his wife's a registered voter and she hasn't voted since she's been registered. So people are so concerned. Yeah, the FBI's coming with staff.
You put him to work already?
Yeah, Dunleavy's got my distance too, Ron. I'll get him along with this stuff. He's got my district, your district. You got part of Big Lake too? Where's that? Oh, well, you drew it, didn't you? Where'd you go?
See, that's a big one. Houston.
Does Newman still have a lot of Big Lake and most of the new part of Connect?
Yeah. I was going to put redistricting on the priority list.
And some single vote down.
Well, MEA had a transformer in the middle of job at this railroad yard. Yesterday, I guess they hit black mold in the IT department. It seemed to be a big issue we gotta remove. And they got into that building to tie in or re-roof it. Get a bunch of black mold.
Which building is that?
That's that little annex thing around the back.
Oh.
Where the bike rack is.
Black mold.
I don't know any of the details.
What are we gonna do with the Matt Bates counter now that burned down? Would they be able to sell that? Since it doesn't have a store divided in it?
Rather we own.
Oh, yeah.
Lawyer and anchor shop, Bill Instant.
What's that?
No, yeah, big trunk, you know, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was, I guess it was all clear fur, really nice wood. The city messed around so long, you know, they had money.
I thought the city got it.
They never made the offer. They haven't deal. He's owned it for a long time. They've been talking about buying it and trying to consolidate all the ownership.
I thought they did it past the bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a, he was prosecuting.
They did, but they didn't get the deal done. They didn't get the deal done.
He was good. He was really handsome. He didn't wanna get in front of the jury.
He's up there.
Yeah, he's a hockey player from Minnesota. He's partnered with, one of his partners just got the Supreme Court job. And the other partner, Kevin Fitzgerald, the kid I grew up with, who did that, Linehan case, the dancer. He did the guy that was the AIH guy. You know, he gets all those high profile. Criminal defense. Yeah.
Femme fatale.
Femme fatale, what's his name?
That AIH guy, that
handsome?
Beam of them? No, that's the old man that was my best friend.
Bomer.
Yeah,
yeah, Bomer.
Friend of Bill Allen.
Yeah, Bill Allen.
Yeah.
Now, that guy that was in jail for the murder of that Linehan, the other food part of that triangle, he got off in prison, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Carl. There's a book for a movie. Oh, that dude that off the barista?
Yeah, but I mean, that, I think it's a shining example. Of, you got him late.
Can you believe that?
Zero, how he, you know, 5 feet small.
Oh, yeah.
You do all this stuff, you just come in and you can't get that out of his way. Incredible.
You sold an ATM card? Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, and there's got cameras on him. I mean, come on. Plus, he's suspected of another serial, similar type of crime in another town back east, New Hampshire, yeah, something.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, right.
Certainly be able to trace the money with that BLM robbery, the fire service building in the summer where they broke in.
Oh, yeah.
You read that in the paper, they had a deal by deal, the same deal. They tracked the money and some traded goods and.
My daughter just walked in, she's on jury duty right now, and she had texted me earlier in the day, she was like, what do you mean, some kid breaking into cabins. I hadn't heard that, but.
All of a sudden, everybody get hit, you know, they kind of get those kids, and it'd be a few years, you know, so.
I can't ditch you from being on a month and a half, 2 month murder trial, where they go through jury selection, you're in the, you're sitting in the courtroom, right? You've done a, you fill out a survey first. They have all of you in a big room, and then they fill out a questionnaire, you know, you. Do you have any lawyers in the family, you know, have you been arrested, or, you know, any, just questions like that. So you turn in the form, and then out of that, they vet you, and they pick their first 12 to come up. You know, and then they're both prosecutor and the defense attorney be asking questions. And then you start to get an inkling of what the case is, you know. Well, do you, the questions were like, do you have an issue with somebody that used a weapon in self-defense? You know, do you have guns in your home? Do you have, think it's okay to have loaded weapons? We're like, okay, what's going on here? And then the guys that try to scam out of service, you know, like, you know, the judges say, well, please approach the bench if you think you have something confidential that you want to say why you shouldn't serve or something. Or do you know, if you know this person, or you read about this? And this kid tried everything, you know, and he's like, oh, I'm just like, I'm. There was one question about, like, would you have, the defense attorney asked, like, would you have, be prejudiced against somebody that had some kind of drug use and stuff? So the kid finally came up with one, he goes, oh, yeah, I'm really against that.
All you gotta say is, I'm gonna vote guilty no matter what. I used to get you tossed off.
Yeah, they're trying everything, and so they're. They're weeding through them, and they're like down to their last one or two. And hey, doing, Carl? Ben Mulligan and I, he's a fish and game aide now. He was Stoltz's aide. Him and I are sitting there, we're like sweating. And this guy, we're down to it. There's only about eight of us left. They need 2 years. And finally, they got their pan. And we're like, hey, we're out of here.
I used to like to ask my juries, all you have to do is apologize something.